Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's hardball time. We're here to break down the upcoming 2022 baseball season. You are listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Tuesday night, April the 5th, 2022. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and it was looking for a while in the off-season like this day was going to be a long way off, if at all, this season, but everything broke down in the negotiations. The players pretty much gave in to almost anything that the owners asked for because they really wanted to play and make their money. And the agreement was struck and the lockout was ended. And therefore, we will have baseball in April. We will have all 162 games starting a little later than normal. But full speed ahead, Jay. The full season is upon us in a couple of days. And it wasn't looking good, but it's going to come off.
You know, there's a part of me that still remembers when this would normally have been around opening day. That that March 30th, March 31st crap, keep it. I mean, you know, the baseball season is 162. I don't know who came up with the number. Obviously, we know it's all about money. But baseball season is interminably long. I mean, I would not be opposed if they want to expand the postseason, which seems to be, you know, this long-term goal that they have. You know, I'm okay sacrificing a few games of the regular season. If you can't, if you don't know who's good after 154 games, you know, come on. So I'm okay.
Or 144.
I'm okay starting a little later.
Yeah, I'm definitely okay with that. It's still going to be cold as hell in a lot of cities.
Yeah. Cubs and Brewers on Thursday, it's going to be in the 30s up down there. I mean, yeah, I'm driving down to Chicago on Friday. We're supposed to have snow here Friday morning.
We're going to be up there in Chicago this weekend for the first time in a few years, and it's going to be cold. And we are not going to any Cub games, mostly, you know, obviously because the Saturday game is in the day during our draft, so obviously we couldn't do that. But, in addition to – you know, the schedule, it's cold. It's going to be every time I go to every time I went to a Sox game, when I came up there for the draft, it was always in the 30s and on the verge of
it's
snow.
Natural. I don't understand. I don't understand why the schedule makers don't start more of the games in domes or in southern cities or on the West Coast than they do. But hey, you know, I mean, I've been at Wrigley Field on opening day in snowstorms. So, yeah, I remember driving down when I was living, you know, I was living farther north than where I live now. We still had our season tickets. It wasn't that long after we moved away. And I remember we drove down for the opener, and it was snowed out.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new. You know, cold weather for the first month of the season. You know, I mean, going to Wrigley, as much as I've been there, it stays pretty chilly at Wrigley into mid to late May sometimes.
Right. And you know, Comiskey too. Don't forget, there's another major league team in Chicago. I know we tend to forget about it.
Well, I only go to one.
I know.
I wasn't going down to, what is it now? Guaranteed Rate Field?
Comiskey Park. And,
I remember we drove down to Cincinnati for our spring break. I decided we were going to take the kids right through Chicago. You know, we could have gone around, but I was like, you know what? I want to drive them. We're going to drive through downtown. And, yeah, we drove right by the park and guaranteed. Right, nope, it's Comiskey Park, kids. That building over there, that's the Sears Tower. That other one we drove by, that's the Rosemont Horizon. you know, so we're going by all these places that have been renamed. But, you know, us real Chicago people, we know what to call them.
We old people, yeah.
Yes.
people of a certain age. Hey, that's what happens when you age. Hold on closer to the things from your childhood, from when the way that you knew it way back when. That's the realness. It doesn't matter what it's called now.
It's OG, we're the OG Chicago guys, man.
There you go. So, we'll be back this coming weekend. My flight is still on. They haven't canceled it yet, so that's good news so far.
Well, for that time of day, I wouldn't expect it to be. I would think on a Friday evening that's a pretty busy flight.
Yeah, you would think, except I got it kind of cheap, so that's what made me nervous. There's a lot of other flights from Memphis to Chicago, and they're all one stop. You got to fly to Denver first or something like that. So there's other options. So that's why what makes me afraid. This is nonstop, but I got it at a pretty low price, and I've just been in fear for the last 3 weeks of them emailing me and saying, yeah, that nonstop you had, that's canceled. Now you're going to Denver at 9 in the morning. Good luck. But it hasn't happened yet, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing all my condensed fantasy draft research. I'm trying to get all that together. So I'm doing my working on trying to, sending myself my sheets so I can get everything all printed up. Got to declare rosters tomorrow. So yeah, I'm definitely doing this on probably one of the shortest time crunches I can ever remember trying to slap everything together.
I have my full league draft, both league, mixed league, on Sunday. Not going to bore everybody with a lot of details about that. But
how many guys have you killed?
I'm going in an interesting strategy this year that I didn't plan on. I'm going with a lot of hurt pitchers, and I'm hoping that they make a full comeback as the season goes on.
If you're getting these guys as values, like getting them later on, then there's obviously high risk. But if you're drafting these guys high, then that's obviously.
Well, I mean, my first round pick is Juan Soto, so I'm very happy there. You almost can't go wrong with the first round pick. Second round, I saw all that news about Max Scherzer has a hammy and he's trying to work it out and he may not go opening day. And I said, you know what? That's still Max Scherzer.
Right.
Even if it's a hammy and he misses a start or so, the other 30 starts, the other 31, it's still Max Scherzer. I took Max Scherzer as my second round pick. Okay. And so that's not so bad at all because he's only going to miss, a start or a day. The latest news that I saw that he might actually pitch the second game of the Mets opener instead of the Mets opener. So that's not a big deal at all. Mike Clevinger is still working his way back. They don't really know when he's going to make his first start. He's going to probably open the season on the disabled list. They haven't done it yet, but it's probably going to happen. He made one start in spring training, and that was about it. But he's ambulatory. At least he's pitched spring. So I drafted him, reserve him on the IL whenever that happens, and we'll see how that works out. Jack Flaherty is not even throwing yet, but it's Jack Flaherty.
I like your strategy. You can't kill the guys if they're already dead.
Wait, I fucked her, but she was already dead. That is a way back inside joke from way back in the day, and that story is not even for the show. You're going to have to corner us at the bar at the draft or something when you see us on the street to get that story. It's still Jack Flaherty. Even if he misses like the first month, where I drafted him, in the middle round, I don't remember exactly which round. Let me see if it tells me. I'm on the phone looking at that. I think if I go to the actual website on the computer and click through, it'll tell me what round I drafted him in. Let's see. We got 2 hours live, so I can waste time like this, I guess. Player history, 12th round. 12th round pick for Jack Flaherty in a 12-team mixed league draft. I don't think that's much of a – it's a reach. I understand it's a reach because he hasn't pitched yet this spring. But 12th round, At that point, you know, you're looking through your, you know, backup first baseman and third, fourth starters or whatever. I don't think that's too much of a risk for him. And he's rostered. This is another key that I thought was interesting. He's actually on 85% of all leagues. So obviously, you know, most of the leagues think that he's going to pitch and pitch well at some point this season. There are other injury risk guys that I didn't take that nobody drafted. So it's not like I did hurt guys. There's
right.
some really, really talented guys that I really want to have on my team, but I don't know when they're going to be ready. So I pass on them, and so did everyone else. My last pick of the draft, I almost took Shane Baz because he's going to miss some time, but
yeah.
it's just unclear how much. I couldn't do it. He went undrafted. Lance McCullers went undrafted. Someone of his talent should never go undrafted, but it's completely unclear when he's going to start throwing again. Steven Strasburg is obviously a very talented pitcher. He went undrafted. So I didn't go, you know, 100% hurt guys. I do have healthy pitchers, but I took some risks. I took more risks than I usually take with hurt guys, especially hurt pitchers. But if any of them were like going to be out for half the year or something like that, I wouldn't have done it. Chris Sale got drafted. I don't know when the hell he's coming back. I didn't touch that. I couldn't make myself.
Yeah,
he was
trending towards coming back, and then he goes on the 60-day DL for something that they thought was going to be relatively minor.
So obviously,
that's what happens with these guys, these fragile guys. Plus, this is don't take too much into some of this, you know, injury news or guys whose velocities are way down. I mean, we have to remember, I mean, normally your pitchers and catchers are reporting mid-February,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was locked out until, what, third week of March?
Yep.
So these guys are all, I mean, yeah, I'm sure they work out, but, you know, we're just officially, they were not doing this for 5 weeks. And so I'm thinking there's a lot of people that are behind this year. And, you know, this first couple of weeks, it's going to be interesting because, you know, how many arms are we going to see blown out this first few weeks?
Well, that's why they got the expanded rosters. That's why you can
yeah.
have 28 for the first month of the season, 28 men on your roster, and that doesn't go down to 26 until May the 2nd. And I think that's a very smart thing to do. I think you're going to see a whole lot of bullpen games, more than usual. You're going to see a whole
yeah.
lot of games where guys go two or three innings and then take a seat and give way to somebody else. And that's fine. I understand that being the general strategy of the Tampa Bay Rays, if you – don't use one or two starters,
right.
Then all the other games of the series, you know, the next three, four, five guys, is going to be all bullpen games. I'm still not down with that as a general strategy for how to run a team. But you know what? The Tampa Bay Rays win a lot of damn games doing that.
They sure
and
do.
I can't hate on it too much because obviously they know what they're doing.
But before we get too far into it, Any thoughts on WrestleMania since that was a follow-up to our last show?
Sure. I'll keep that very quick. Decent show overall. First night was indeed much better than the second, just like you and Jerry predicted, looking at the paper
yeah.
and looking at the quality of the matches. All the celebrities did pretty well. I saw someone on Twitter make the remark, you know, these celebrities clearly, as opposed to celebrities in the past, these guys like really do love wrestling and WWE and really respect wrestling in general and took it seriously. Their training. Bad Bunny last year, I still was amazed by how great he was. And Pat McAfee was really good. And Johnny Knoxville, he was Johnny Knoxville.
okay.
that's about all I got to say about that. Roman Reigns goes over Lesnar. That actually – not only was it not the greatest match of all time, but I think it was even worse than it was supposed to be. It looked like there were some blown spots in there. You know, it is what it is. It's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. You're only going to get so much out of them. That's why I was laughing at the hype. Like, there's no way in hell these guys can live up to greatest match of all time. But, you know, they did the business. They did what they had to do. The two women's matches were probably the most newsworthy or noteworthy events of the WrestleMania weekend for completely different reasons. The Bianca Belair win over Becky Lynch was a surprise. So we can officially definitely say they can throw that out the window, that old trope of whoever looks strongest on the go-home show is going to automatically do the job and do the honors at the actual WrestleMania show, because Bianca Belair overpowered Becky Lynch and looked the strongest on Raw, and then she overpowered her and looked strong and won the match, won clean, and won the title at WrestleMania. So they did indeed go with Bianca Belair, the one young star that they seem actually doing a pretty good job of building and making her look strong, and I'm very happy to see that, because she is as athletically gifted and legitimately, you know, a legit athlete, all world track and field at Tennessee. There's just about nothing she can't do. So I'm very glad that they went in that direction. And then Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey made news because Charlotte Flair kept popping her titty out of her outfit during the match. So that, and Twitter explodes. That, of course, took over Twitter and all the screenshots and whatnot. That's her fault. She loves to have that those loose outfits on and that loose top that has her big fake tits flopping around anywhere, and it was just popping right out, just kept winking at everybody, and they did their best to try to cover it up. They blacked out the screen at one point. They, you know, did the camera shots and cameras away, because she's doing a move where she's standing, like, she does a figure four, and then she presses up on her hands. They call it a figure eight. So it looks like it's, you know, more pressure or whatever on the knee. And when she does that, her left nipple is just winking, hello, just saying hello to everybody. And they had to do get the camera angle around the other side, make sure they didn't see that. But, you know, it was too late, obviously, if you're watching live, and if you're, you know, looking at the replay before they, I'm sure they're going to edit all that out next, you know, when you can order it or re-look at it on Peacock. I'm sure by now they've already edited it. I haven't gone back and looked, but yeah, that's what she wants to do. That's what she likes to do. Apparently, it's not the first time she's come out of her outfit. I don't watch the product enough. I didn't know that was not the first time that she's come out of her top. But yeah, that was definitely newsworthy for everybody who was a fan of something like that. And hey, you know, I'm a teenager at heart still, even though I'm 46, and so I was happy to see that. I was like, whoa, what am I looking at? Wait a minute, I got to pause this. That's a titty, all right. Just laying there for the world to see. So that was no. And then after all of that, she puts everything back together, and then Ronda Rousey is distracted by the referee messing up at some point in the match. So then Charlotte hits her with a boot in the face and pins her, and that's it. And it's like, okay. So obviously that's, you know, setting up some rematch down the road. But yeah, hopefully in the rematch they'll finally convince Charlotte Flair to put on a different top, or else, you know, have her wear a sports bra underneath or something.
Okay, well, there you go.
And that's your WrestleMania recap.
That's the WrestleMania recap. So first night was better.
Yes,
much better. Celebrities acquitted themselves well. Yeah, Pat McAfee, who knew? You know, the punter.
You know, but, first of all, he's an athlete. He's played in the NFL.
That's true.
No matter what we think of kickers. But he loves the product, and he loves wrestling, yeah. And he trained, and he took it seriously, and he's already sitting there every week as a commentator on SmackDown, so he's got a whole eye full of what to do.
I didn't know he was.
They actually brought him in during the pandemic as a color commentator on SmackDown every Friday night.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, he's a busy man. Got the podcast. Got daddy. he does a lot there, and so yeah, he's fully invested in the product. So yeah, everything went off well. They had Stone Cold come out after his match, and they actually had Vince McMahon come out after the match first and challenge him to another match, and then Vince McMahon beat him, and then Vince McMahon is celebrating and feeling good, and then Stone Cold comes out and beats up everybody and gives him a stunner and all that. So
okay.
Make the crowd happy. That's what the weekend was all about. Give the people the celebrities. They made Undertaker come out on both nights to take a bow after getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, they just wanted to play his music and get everybody excited. That's all that was.
Did he do the 7-minute entrance both times?
Pretty much, yeah. Except he didn't have the garb on and all that. He just had a suit on, and he just, you know, took a bow and acknowledge the fans, but the music is playing and the smoke and all that stuff. So yeah, they went all the way with that.
Yeah. Still the best entrance.
Apparently. Yeah. Like my uncle's wife, my aunt is not anywhere near a wrestling fan at all. And even she stopped every time The Undertaker came on, back in the day when we were watching pay-per-views. Yeah. Even she had to watch that entrance. It was mesmerizing, apparently, to everybody. So I don't know what they were doing when they came up with that idea, but it worked, obviously. So with all of that, we should, 20 minutes into the show, get into...
That's us. It's our show. We talk about whatever we want.
That's right.
We might as well talk about some baseball. This is usually the show where we agree on everything, and it's the most boring show we do all year.
With the caveat that it's a baseball preview as well, so it's almost pointless because it's baseball. These teams could be so different by the time the playoffs come around to get the trade deadline.
We do a pretty good job around the All-Star break of kind of, looking back at our picks. At some point, usually around then, we don't officially do it, but when we're in, we're full on Kings of Non Sequitur. We do a show. We make fun of our baseball picks, and we kind of. Who did I have? Yeah, we go back and we laugh at them.
Can you believe I picked that team?
Which is easy because they're usually the same.
We'll see. I think I got some surprises this time.
You think that until we both have the same surprises.
Exactly. We'll find out. Rule changes in general.
Some good,
I think,
some good, some bad.
Yeah, so universal DH, we're going to disagree on that. We already know. I'm a big fan of
the
universal DH.
I liked having the difference between the leagues. I did.
I get it. It's going to be weird. I know that to see National League with DH is definitely going to be unusual. And I understand the romanticism. I understand the strategy and double switching and all that being taken away is. Something of a loss for some people. I understand it, but to me it's such a positive on the other side to never have to see a pitcher struggling again, trying to lay down a bunt or breaking his finger, trying to lay down a bunt, struggling to swing the bat when it's time to have to, when you have to swing, when the bases are loaded or something and you have no choice, you have to try to swing and just the most feeble attempt. I don't need to see pitchers hitting. Unless your name is Ohtani, I don't need to see you hitting again. If you're
not going to miss seeing the pitchers standing on first base with the giant size winter coats because they got a hit.
The Scott Sanderson big winter coat is a make sure to keep the pitcher warm. No matter how ridiculous it looks, we have to make sure the pitcher stays warm. Rosters at 28 until May the 2nd, then cut down to 26. I already mentioned that one. Ghost runner in extra innings looked like it was going to be negotiated out, and as there is, as it turns out, it's going to stay, unfortunately. I do not like that rule.
No, that one we both hate.
That's not baseball. That's one step from soccer goalie shootout, as far as I'm concerned. Pitcher slash DH can stay in as a DH after leaving as a pitcher. That's basically the Ohtani rule. That now if he's the pitcher and also DHing and he leaves as the pitcher, he can still stay in there hitting, which is that's great because that's the fans come there to see him pitch and hit. And when you take him out as a pitcher, you get a whole lot of people leaving at that point because they know he's not going to hit anymore because he's out of the game. And now he can stay in. You're going to get to see him take another hack or two maybe. So that's definitely a good thing. And the NFL-style playoffs, as they move closer and closer to that, you talked about expanded playoffs. They're expanding a little this year.
The play-in game is gone.
Yeah. Yep.
And that
top
is
two
the best.
Division
that is
winners.
The best.
Yep. Yes, I agree. So top two division winners get a bye, and the remaining four teams mix it up in three-game wild card series. Not – one and done. That is done, as you just said. And then the unfortunately the shift ban, which I am definitely not a fan of.
I'm not a fan of that either.
That will be in 2023. The official ban of the shift.
I hope that gets looked at because my feelings about the game are: you have a pitcher and catcher. The other seven guys, put them wherever the hell you want.
Exactly.
Right?
Even more so to me.
Yeah.
You're paying
Wherever
me
you
to win baseball games.
That's correct.
I should be able to defend as best as I can so that I can have the best chance to win the baseball game. If you're going to say I can't defend over here and the guy can hit it over there all he wants, that's not baseball anymore. That's a pinball
right.
machine. When you say I can't move my guy over here, even though all the metrics and percentages say that the dude is much more likely to hit it over here than over there, but I can't stand over here because over here happens to be on the other side of the second base bag, and we've decided that you can't do. We have to have an electrical fence like I'm a dog, and I can't. I'm not allowed to go over there. That's so stupid to me. That's like I said, that's pinball. If you want guys to just stand there, and if the batter hits it in this hole, it's 2 points, and if he hits it in the other hole, it's 3. It's a different game. It's a different sport. It's not really baseball, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. No, I have a feeling there's going to be a whole lot of shortstops. Let's say if it's a lefty standing right at the bag, and then as soon as the ball gets pitched, that guy's dead sprinting over to where he should have been.
They've been talking about that on some of these preseason games, exhibition games.
Yeah,
they've been speculating about, hey, what's the line going to be? Is it you have to stand there as the pitch is in the air? Can you start moving
exactly.
as soon as the pitch is in the air? Are we going to see men in motion like it's football? How is that going to work?
All of a sudden, the ump throws a offside.
Wait.
Defense.
Ball start, shortstop, number 5.
That's an automatic
penalty.
Ball. Come on.
Yeah.
But these guys, you know, we said when the people were complaining about the shift, just hit the batter needs to adjust.
Exactly.
Hit
them
the ball
where they ain't.
They're not. You know, Anthony Rizzo was really good at that. If he saw somebody like overshifting him, shorten up and chop that thing the other way. You know, it does
okay.
work.
You're going to give me all of third base? Okay, I'll take that.
Sometimes you'd see those guys turn that into doubles.
Yeah.
Because that thing would just start rolling into the outfield and there's nobody there. I mean, you know, it's all part of the game. It's all part of the adjustments. So, yes, you and I, where, you know, sometimes we're progressive and sometimes we're all get off my lawn. I think we're a little more get off my lawn on that one. Let them play wherever they want to play.
I get fired if I lose games. You're telling me that I can't put my defense where I'm
right.
more likely to win the game, and then you're going to fire me anyway. Well, what the fuck was I supposed to do? That's my thing. All right. We've gone on long enough. And we'll start actually picking some of these divisions, even though we have no idea what these teams will look like at halfway through the season. Like I said, this is mostly for fun. We're talking baseball for 2 hours. That's the good part. That's the good thing about it. So take our predictions with a big, big grain of salt. I'll try to get to the BetMGM odds that I have up here for World Series winners, division winners, future odds. Who do you want to short to get into the playoffs? Who do you want to bet? Hopefully I'll remember to get to all of those as we go along. So with that, let's start talking some baseball and breaking it down. And we, our tradition in our preseason picks for football and baseball is to start with the division of the reigning defending champions. And that means this
Correct.
Year we're starting in the National League East, home of the world champion Atlanta Braves. So Jay, how do you see the NL East?
Yeah, I don't predict records. I pretty much just do. Now, it's 3 wild cards this year, so at least this year I know how many wild cards are. We don't have to argue about, is it one? Is it because we didn't know that? What the hell was going on? Was it last year when they just added a wild card team? Like,
yeah,
while
you know
we
what?
Were doing while we were
season's
doing the
about
show.
To begin tomorrow. We're going to have another wild card team. Yeah, just because.
You know what? You look at these teams, you look at the depth charts, you look at the teams, you look at the construction, you look at the lineups, you look at so much stuff. And like you said, 6 weeks from now, it's all different. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get called up. You know, guys are going to be ineffective, you know. So, yeah. So you just try to look at it and you try to look into the crystal ball and you try to play it out, right? You try to basically play a whole season in your mind, which is it's not as easy as it seems like.
We're just doing this for fun. You can't predict. Some of the stuff that's going to happen, you cannot possibly predict.
Right. Like, who had the Braves last year to win it all? Really?
Right.
You know, or who had the Giants win in that division?
Not us.
No. I don't know if anybody did. I mean, look where the Padres finished. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Everybody loved the Padres last year. Would they finish 7 games under?
Hard to predict.
It was not pretty. That's all I know. So that's like you said, yeah, take it all with a game of salt. No, 4 games under last year, but still under 500 for a team we thought was going to win 100 games.
Right.
NL East, I'm going to go in this order. Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Braves, Nats. I don't think we're going to agree.
You have the Nationals? Is that last?
Dead last. Yes.
Oh, you're going up. See, I thought you were going 5-1, and I was about to
No, I went 1-5. Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Braves, Nats.
Gotcha. All right. And I'm going 5-1. Well, you did 1-5. I guess I should do that, too. So to make it less confusing, Braves to repeat for me as division champs, Marlins, Mets, Phillies, Nats, and I will be happy to select 2 of my wildcard teams from the National League East, both the Marlins and the Mets.
You know, the Marlins are interesting. I have them in 3rd. You have them 2nd?
Yes.
Yeah, the Marlins to me, especially when you look at that lineup construction, it's very, very Rays constructed. It's like they're trying to copy Tampa. You know, they've got a let's just get guys. You know, it's just a roster of guys. That's the way. It's not like it's stars. Because you know, the Rays don't do it that way either, right? There's no superstars on that team. And you look at this Marlins lineup, 1-9, and it's just a whole lot of it's just some dudes, you know, dudes who've been around, guys who've been cast off, and overall fairly good at baseball. A very interesting team. So I mean, that's why I have the Marlins 3rd. Their rotation is nice. They have one of the better rotations. I wonder about that patched together offense with them. It really
with
is. It's dudes, but
it
with
is.
Good arms.
With arms like that, that's all you need to do is patch together an offense. You're going to win. They're going to win a lot of games 3-2. That's why I picked them to win the wild card.
Okay, that's fair enough. I have them just on the outside. You know, and that means so you had them 2nd or 3rd.
I have them 2nd. I think that's
okay.
For them. It's a, when I say massive talent influx for the Miami standards. Of the you know for the standards of the former Florida Marlins,
yeah.
That's a massive talent. Jorge Soler, Joey mm-hmm. Wendell, an all-star. Avi Garcia, they're not Hall of Famers, they're not hofers, but
they're guys.
Solid. They're solid vets. And Miami usually doesn't add a whole lot of really solid vets, so they did that, and they can beat anyone with that rotation. So that's what I'm really basing it more on is. When you talk about Sandy Alcantara and Pablo Lopez and Trevor
yeah.
Rogers, and they just got arms coming out of their behinds. And I really like the way they put their team together because you don't need superstar studs when you have great pitching and great arms like that.
No, and where I will give them credit, even though, like I said, they put together a bunch of guys, they're not old. You know, these aren't, you know, the oldest starting regular. They don't have a starting regular. One guy is over 32 years old, and that's their catcher.
Right. Yep.
Everybody else is under 32, so it's not like they went out and just signed also-rans, right? They didn't sign a bunch of 37-year-olds who everybody's like, oh, that guy's a name, you know? You know, so, no, I give, yeah. We know who Jorge Soler and Avi Garcia and I remember Jesus Aguiar up here. You know, playing first base, he can hit. I mean, he's
got power.
Hits home runs. He's got power. So yeah, it's definitely a roster of guys. I will say that. And I didn't feel like in years past where it was easy to drop them at the bottom. I believe we both have the Nationals finishing last, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on them. They're going to be pretty bad. I don't think they're going to be A's bad, but they're going to be pretty bad.
That World Series is a faint memory, isn't it?
Already. Yeah.
2 years ago. It already feels like 20 years ago.
You know, and that's, it's not a when you look at it on paper, it's not a terrible team, right? I mean, they've got some – there's some star power there, you know. We talk about guys that you sign in old guys. How about Nelson Cruz? Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, there you go. The National League gets the DH, and immediately he's got, you know, 15, 16 more teams that might be interested in hiring him.
And, right, you think about these guys whose careers are going to be extended now because of this universal DH. We just opened up 15 more starting spots for these old guys.
How about Cardinals DH Albert Pujols, huh?
Oh, man. That
Hey, he went back home.
Yeah, who retires first this season, him or Miggy, him or Press?
Toss up. Who quits first?
Who quits first? That's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. I think they're both so prideful. I think they're both going to go to the end, even though they have, like, nothing left.
So you have – who'd you have at the top? You have the Braves repeating. So you like the Braves to sort of recapture the magic, huh? That is the popular pick, by the way.
It is, yeah. The let's see – futures and the odds. I think the Braves were indeed the favorite still in the NL East. Braves plus 120, followed closely by the Mets plus 200, Phillies plus 350, and then the Marlins plus
Phillies.
Well, yeah. Or if you really love the Marlins, plus 1400 on them. Yeah, but in the poor Nationals plus 4000. That's not going to happen. You know, the heart and soul, Freddie Freeman, goes Hollywood, he goes to LA, but they reload, Matt Olson's in there, Ronald Acuna gets going sometime in May, he's, you know, still not ready, but it's not going to be too long, I don't believe. Rising stars all around, you know, I don't know if you remember our mock draft for getting ready for the our fantasy draft last year, where we went around on Zoom just to test it out, just to see how it would go. So Kamish asked me, okay, it's your turn, Dre, and why don't, you know, we're nominating all these stars and guys, you know, Hall of Famers, just, you know, having fun. And he gives me the task, why don't you throw out a name that no one's really heard of so we can get a test of, like, the guys that are out immediately and they turn off their cameras and you get all these dark screens and there's only a few people still bidding. We wanted to test out how that would go. So he says, random National Leaguer, because we're trying to avoid using American League guys because we didn't want to give away any strategies, because we are, for those who aren't aware, this fantasy league that we're participating in this weekend in Chicago is American League players only.
Right. And so everybody is looking for an edge over everybody else at any given moment.
So we're trying to avoid giving away any kind of strategy of who we love, anything like that. So he gives me the task. He says, great, throw out somebody, some National Leaguer that no one has really heard of or really knows, and let's see how that works. And so I go, okay, and I just completely pull out of my ass. And I said, let's see, my random National Leaguer that nobody knows that I'll nominate is Atlanta Braves third baseman Austin Riley, $1. And all the screens start going black. Like, who?
Yeah.
I never heard of it. I don't know who that is. No one heard of Austin Riley before last year, and now 39 homers and 90-whatever RBIs later, and yes, I did draft him this year in my league. Austin Riley, all-star and possible MVP and stalwart of the Atlanta Braves all of a sudden. So I really pulled out a guy that went on to have a great season and really establish himself that nobody knew before last year. So I was very, very happy to see that and very proud of that. Yeah, he's still there. Like I said, they reloaded after losing Freeman. Get those arms going, those young arms that are it's not, you know, the greatest group of young arms, but it's really good. There's some really – Max Fried is very good. I've always been a fan of his. They've got the old man Charlie Morton still throwing down, and he's still good. He's still really good despite being 38 years old, I believe.
Yeah.
Still very effective. And then at closer, you get an all-timer. You get Kenley Jansen comes over from the Dodgers. You lose Freddie Freeman to the Dodgers, but Kenley Jansen comes back. So they upgrade that role right there. And I think that was a really, you know, not a sneaky move, but something that's probably going to go overlooked. You're not going to think about it until you get to the ninth inning. You go, oh, shit, they got Kenley Jansen out there closing this down. I think that makes a big difference. So, yeah, a lot of close wins. I don't know if they're going to blow out a whole lot of people, but that's still a very solid lineup. Ozzy Albies can't stop hitting. He's just been so consistent. And they, you know, like I said, Acuña coming back is really huge. I think that's gonna it's a testament to how great they are that they won the title without Acuña, who hurt himself, you know, last year and missed that entire stretch run in the playoffs. And they won even without him, and now they get him back. I think that's gonna be huge.
All right, so you are all on with the Braves. I have them sliding. I sometimes you got to go with the gut. And the gut tells me that was a bit of a flash in the pan. You know, I got that feeling about them, and I got that feeling last year about the Giants. Like, well, this isn't sustainable. You know, they sustained it all the way to 107 wins and then disappeared.
Yeah.
Where the Braves more kind of came on late. I think the Braves also took advantage of the stumbling of these other teams, especially like the Phillies and these teams that were supposed to be good and just weren't. Mm-hmm. And the Braves ended up actually winning that division. You know, they had 88 wins, win the division when you were supposed to just be getting, like, run out of the building by some of these other teams, and it didn't happen. So I see them sliding. I think it's going to be really competitive. I don't think they slide to 20 games under 500. I think that top four in that division, I think August 1st, we won't have a very clear picture of who's going to win that division. I think you're going to have the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets all kind of hanging around with the Marlins just, like, right there, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you never know. The trade deadline, so many things that, you know, happen late. You know, baseball, we always lament football not having the action that baseball has, because baseball has by far the best trade deadline because they have it so late. And how much of that can shake up, but I just – Something never sat right to me. I liked the story last year about the Braves, and I liked the way they did it. But I don't see them sustaining it. So I went with the Phillies, who that's a bit of a post-hype pick now, right? It was cool to pick the Phillies 2 or 3 years ago. Sometimes those things, they take a little while to work out. They don't have a bad rotation. It's a little questionable at the back end, we'll see, of the rotation, I mean. And then, you know, they've got Corey Knable now, who's supposed to be their closer. Can he stay healthy? That's always his problem.
That's the big question.
That's the question. But the lineup's loaded. They signed Schwarber. They got Nick Castellanos. He's just a professional hitter. I don't know how that guy every year gets these contracts. Like, well, the last when he left the Cubs and he got like a 2-year, $16 million deal, and the guy just shows up and he just hits. It's all he does. Yeah. He just hits. You know, he's one of the he's not going to hit. He's not going to wow you with the long ball, but man, it's just like everything he hits it hard. It's like a double in the gap every time. You need a double in the gap, and you got to pick one guy to get you a double in the gap in the bigs. Nick Castellanos is a good bet to be that guy, because he's just a pro hitter. I like him added right in the middle of that lineup. And I went with the Phillies. We both have the Mets second.
I had the Mets third behind Miami.
But you have them in the playoffs.
I have New York as a second wild card team.
Okay.
I do.
So you and I both have the Mets in the playoffs, which is normally a function. The reason I put the Mets in, but I was just so questionable on them, is I like that starting rotation. I worry about the health of that starting rotation too, right? We don't know about Scherzer. Carrasco's been beat up in the past. They're slotting Taiwan Walker as the fifth right now. Any season that you get 100 innings plus out of Taiwan Walker is like a miracle. You're going to get 100 solid innings.
Just don't know when they're going to come,
right,
or how many extras you're going to get.
Right. Last year he pitched 159 innings. That was the first time he'd gone over 100 innings since 2017.
It's a long time.
So.
And he's already hurt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's already questionable. So there's just, the Mets are also, that's a very good offense. And that division, I think that division's just going to beat up on each other a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's one of those where there's just a slugfest between three or four teams. And those are going to be some fun series in the East, which hasn't been that much fun to talk about for a while.
Well, they all spent the money, and they're making themselves worthy to talk about. You talk about the Mets with Lindor in his second year. They had Starling Marte, who I've always been a big fan of. But you already said it. Pitchers are always hurt for the Mets. They are they got the worst pitching luck. DeGrom is, man, they don't know when he's going to be able to go. And he was otherworldly last year before he hurt himself. When fantasy heads like us, we know when we see a guy with a whip under one that that's a special pitcher. His whip last year was like 0.5. It was so his stupid.
Last year, his ERA was almost under one.
You couldn't touch him at all. He was on pace to have like an all-time season before going down, and now he's already down again. The offense is mighty for the Mets. I would have, I definitely thought about them to win the whole division, but the pitching, always an issue with them. So definitely got to watch out for them. I could have flipped them with the Phillies. When I say I had the Phillies fourth, I don't hate the Phillies at all. That lineup might be as loaded as the Mets and the Braves in Miami, maybe more so. I just think they're missing a little something pitching wise. You talked about how light that 3-4-5 for their rotation might be.
Yeah, the back end of their rotation is a little iffy.
Yep, I definitely agree with that.
When you're that loaded, though. When you're that loaded, you're going to make trades. That's what you just cannot account for.
Sure, exactly. Who knows what's going to happen by the time the deadline comes around. Odds for whether you want to short the team to make the playoffs or go long with them. Let's see. We have Marlins at +250 to just make the playoffs and -300 not to. That seems like a bet that might be interesting to throw some ducats on for them. The Mets are -225 to make it and +185 to miss it. Phillies are -130 to make it and +100 to miss the playoffs. So pretty even right there. And we're looking at the Nationals. Oh boy, +750 to make it and -1200 not to make the playoffs. So it's a big time situation. If you want to short them, you got to throw down 1200 just to make 100. If you don't believe in the Nationals,
so you're saying there's a chance.
and the Braves pretty big favorite to make it back, -300 and +230 not to make it. So that is your NL East, and from there, your Cubbies in the National League Central. What do you think about the NL Central?
Not much has changed for me in the Central. I think last year I was Cardinals, Brewers, Reds, Cubs, Pirates. I've got two flips. This year I'm going Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs, Reds, Pirates, first to last.
Okay.
And not close. I think that the Brewers are the only team I have coming out of that division. Cardinals were such a letdown last year. I have no idea what the hell they're doing. I think the Cubs will be, now that they've blown everything up and you've kind of seen what they are, I think they'll be marginally more competitive than they were at stretches last year, but still pretty bad. The Reds are just one of the worst run organizations in baseball. So they're just, they're on their way down, and the Pirates are just going to pirate.
Oh, all those Pirates. God, they're bad. I'm going to believe in the Cardinals again. I'm going to trust them to.
I tried last year. I tried.
I'm going to trust them to come out on top again, followed by the Reds, then the Brewers, then the Cubs, and then the Pirates. So we definitely agree on the Pirates being last. Only excitement there is which young players will flash and become future Yankees.
Yeah. That's about right.
And you had the Cubs fourth as well?
No, I had them third. I had the Reds backsliding them. That Reds fire sale, that can't be fun to be on that team, with all the pieces that they jettisoned, and I have a feeling that they're not done. So that's what I think that the Reds will probably be the third place team, about deadline time, and then August and September, after they've traded away their valuable pieces or anybody who's, you know, shown flashes, and then they sort of slip into that third, fourth gap between Cubs and the Reds isn't going to be a huge one. I think it's going to be that the Cubs are going to be that much better than the Reds. I think it's just going to be – that's where it's going to shake up at the end.
Yeah. I guess I'm believing a little more in the Reds. They did get rid of a lot of pieces, but they still have some good young talent. They got the Rookie of the Year, Jonathan India. I kept waiting for him to sort of cool off last year after he started high. He never cooled off. He just kept playing well. So they got a real good piece at second. Joey Votto, the ageless one, at first, if he's figured out how to avoid slow starts, that would really be nice because his deal was always the first 2 months of the year, he was just terrible. So I think he might be a little better than normal. They might surprise. That's a lineup that might surprise you. And you talk about Mike Moustakas and Nick Senzel showed flashes. And there's some talent there. Young pitching, I think, is what probably interests me most about Cincinnati. They got all kinds of potential. When you talk about the kid Hunter Green, they're going to give him the start the season, the fourth start. Another kid, River San Martin. They got some young guys, Vladimir Gutierrez, and Nick Lodolo looked pretty decent in spring as well. So they got some arms. They got some talent there. So that's what I'm looking for with Cincinnati, to sort of hang around, to do a little better than people think.
Yeah, I don't trust their bullpen at all right now. They have five guys listed as their closer right now.
Five guys.
Yeah, that means, you know what it means if you have five guys closing ball games for you?
Yeah.
It means you don't have a closer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
I got the Brewers winning the division reluctantly. It hurts to say it. You know, I don't like saying it.
I know.
I
haven't believed
not,
in the Brewers for a long time.
I haven't. I don't believe in their manager. I think that's usually what does them in. Their bullpen, we talk about what we just said about the Reds bullpen, say the exact opposite about about that Brewers bullpen, because they have three straight up closers, but they all have a role, you know, and I mean, Hader, Williams, and then they've got Boxberger. All three of those guys have top tier, you know, stuff or closing experience, but Williams doesn't have the closing experience. And there were rumors all off season that the Brewers were going to try to part with Hader, because they felt so comfortable giving the job over to one of these other guys, but keeping that thing together, the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, so the Brewers are doing the Royals thing, you know, when the Royals won the World Series. Like, if you just get that, keep the lead after six, and you're probably going to win the game. And they have the offense to get the leads. It's, again, it's a collection. It's not, I mean, you know, Christian Yelich has not been himself the last few seasons, but they just seem like they get contributions from just they signed Willy Adames off the scrap heap.
Yeah, he was a spark,
and now he's a folk hero now. Same with the Rowdy Tellez. It's like they just get these guys, and Craig Counsell is going to get himself the reputation as being one of the better regular season managers. I think he overworks his bullpen, and that usually comes back to bite him in the ass come postseason time, but their pitching staff is clearly their strength. And while I do have some doubts about the long-term star potential of Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff, they can't knock what they did last year.
Can't say shit about him after last year.
Can't say anything about last season, but wow, where did that come from?
And Freddie Peralta behind them is a number three.
I can understand if maybe you held that a little bit against them. Like, that maybe that's almost like a show me pick. Like, I want to see that again.
That's all about the offense to me. I don't believe in that offense in Milwaukee. That's why I got them third. They desperately need Yelich to
scrappy. I'll tell you that it's a scrappy offense.
Everything turns around if Yelich remembers who he is and comes back to that MVP form. He's really the glue there. If he doesn't,
he thinks
then
he's Jason Hayward. He thinks that rolling over weakly to second base is how you're supposed to hit.
No, that's not how you won MVP, Christian. Not at all. Because when he's not doing that, now you're relying on, you know, Colton Wong and Lorenzo Cain and
guys.
They signed Andrew McCutcheon over the offseason. Can you smell the Ben Gay in that locker room? You got Cain, you got McCutcheon.
Remember what we were talking about?
Some age
with
there.
The Marlins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys. Hunter Renfrow was bashing his way
somehow,
in there.
I don't know what it is with that team. Some guy is going to come up and hit a three-run homer for them right when they need it. It's just, I don't get it. I watch it because I have
Ace
to see
Peterson?
It because I live guys. So
look, the rotation, that top three is a killer trio. So they could absolutely come through and do a lot better than I think they will. But I just don't like the lineup. That doesn't draw any confidence out of me. The Cardinals, that I'm going with number one again, they're gonna get a couple of walk-off base hits or home runs from Yadi in his last year and from Pujols. It's just gonna happen. Maybe it's a romantic pick, but it's going to be a summer of love in St. Louis. They're going to shower those guys all year long. They're going to give them big, long standing ovations. It's going to be kisses blown. It's going to be babies thrown in the air. It's just going to be a big party in St. Louis all year long, and it's going to be emotional. And that's not why necessarily I got them at the top. I think that lineup can be sick. I think they can put together some real runs when you talk about Arenado. That's another one of those guys that he leaves Colorado, just like Trevor Story. We'll talk about him in Texas. They leave Colorado, and everyone, the first thing they say, and it's correct, is, boy, their numbers are not going to be anywhere near as good as in Colorado. You know what? No, they're not. Still damn good baseball players. Nolan Arenado is still a damn good baseball player. Paul Goldschmidt is a damn good baseball player. The young guys that I, you know, have a vested interest in seeing him come up down here in Memphis, when you talk about Tommy Edman and Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson, these guys are putting it together all at the same time. I think they got something. I really think they got a nice core down there. Paul DeJong, the power hitting shortstop. And then, of course, the pitching. Obviously, I'm believing in Jack Flaherty to come back and put together a solid 4 months or maybe even 5 months, depending on when he comes back. The old man, Adam Wainwright, Steven Matz, the former Met, can get it done from the left side. They got some decent arms. I don't know what they're going to wind up doing with Alex Reyes whenever he comes back. I don't know what they're going to do. That's my guy. He's hurt, unfortunately. I don't know what they're going to do with the returning.
No.
Yeah, I know. That's stunning. I don't know what they're going to do with Jordan Hicks, who's making his way back, but those are some special arms when you talk about guys coming out of the bullpen throwing, you know, 99, 100, 101, and moving. That's some dangerous shit. And they're not even the closers right now. They're having Giovanni Gallegos close. But if he falters, they got backup. So they're deep in the bullpen. The lineup can be very dangerous. And, yeah, I'm going to believe in the Cardinals one more time.
I'm not going to go too deep into talking about my Cubs because we talk about our home teams all year. They're going to be fun bad, I guess I could call them. They're going to be scrappy. I don't think they're going to be what they were when they were ripping off 14-game losing streaks like it was nothing last season, which I think they did multiple 10-game losing streaks last season. It was embarrassing. But I, you know, a lot of it, they were doing some of that with the good players too. I mean, some of those losing streaks they went through before they traded off all their best pieces. You know, it's obviously a running rebuild. You know, they're not very talent rich in the farm. Some of the pieces that they traded for, you know, some of these young guys like Madrigal, you know, some of these guys who've come up out of nowhere last year. We saw Patrick Wisdom. We saw the quad A hero, Frank Schwindel, have a second half of the ages. He was the best hitter in baseball after the All-Star break last year. If you didn't, there's a tidbit for you, huh?
You believe in that?
No.
Gonna do that again?
He's a quad A player. a 27-year-old rookie when he broke in with the Royals. Now he's pushing 30, so we'll see. Maybe he's just one of these late bloomers. Maybe he's a Casey Blake type, right?
Maybe.
Casey Blake was, what, a 29-year-old rookie, and he had himself a nice 5-year run.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yeah, maybe that's Frank Schwindel. No, the Cubs are probably a 70-75 win team.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Frank Schwindel down here in Memphis, and I watched a lot of Patrick Wisdom, and I'm not believing in either one of them.
No, but they got the playing time, and they put up numbers last year. There was no denying the results.
Good for them.
So sometimes you come up in a situation like that where you're forced into playing time because you're on a team and nobody believes in you, and you get comfortable seeing that big league pitching. There was no pressure on any of these guys to perform, and I don't think there's any pressure on these guys to perform this year. Obviously, they go out and they sign, say, a Suzuki, so everybody's going to be interested. That's going to be sort of like the attraction to see if he's going to be – is he going to be Hideki Matsui, or is he going to be Kosuke Fukudome?
I hope he's not Fukudome.
Hopefully he's more Matsui.
I don't know how the Ricketts did it. They're so poor. They let go of all their stars last year. But
jeez,
where did they find the money?
Falling apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The slums of Wrigley Field.
Well, they probably put something else up on the foul pole and got the money for it.
Oh, another sponsor?
Oh, man.
Sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
They sold a few more Giordano's pizzas, so.
Right.
Well, that's the Central.
Yep, that's the Central.
The Pirates Brewer, suck.
And the Pirates suck. Brewers are the favorites. They agree with you, the odds makers do, at BetMGM. They are -175 to win the Central, followed by the Cards at +230, and then a steep fall downhill. Cubs +1,100, Reds +1,600, Pirates +5,000.
And oh, so the odds makers actually went my order.
They did.
Okay. I thought I was being edgy.
We always think that, and then it turns out not so much.
Hey, but so far we don't agree on everything.
That's true. That's good.
This is actually different.
Yes. To make the playoffs, Brewers -250, the big favorite there, +200 to miss the playoffs. Cardinals, I don't think I've ever seen it this even, -110 on both sides. You can't get more even than that. Cubs, big underdogs, +550 to make the playoffs, -750 if you want to short the Cubs. And then the Pirates are probably even way worse than that. +1,500 for the Pirates to make the playoffs, and you have to lay $5,000 to win 100 if you want to take the Pirates to not make the playoffs.
You know what? I don't need $100 that bad.
That's a lot of money to go with that. And then the Reds are +425 to make a playoff run and -600 to miss it. I don't want to say definitely bet the Reds, the blanket at +425, but I think that's a decent value. You throw a couple ducats on that, perhaps. I don't think that's too bad.
Yeah, the Reds aren't in the playoffs.
Well, on to the National League West. How do you see the West breaking down?
This one is probably one of the ones I looked at the most. Last year I had the Padre love, and man, they couldn't have been more of a letdown. And then the Giants that was charmed. I'm sorry. It was that 107 games. They just couldn't lose. I'm watching that Giants team. I'm like, they're not that good. But I digress.
I felt the same way.
I'm going Dodgers, Giants, Padres, D-backs, Rockies. That's my order.
All the way up to the bottom, we were the same. I've got Rockies fourth and D-backs fifth. Other than that, kumbaya.
Yeah. As much as I wanted to move the Padres up, too many question marks. Was it Tatis is hurt?
Yep.
Right? The pitching is hurt. You know, Clevenger's hurt. And I don't know. They had that snake bit kind of feel to me. The Dodgers, the Dodgers lost some guys, but, man, they added some guys too.
They rebuilt.
They did. You don't rebuild, you reload, I believe, when you're as good as the Dodgers are. There's no rebuild here. They had Freddie Freeman, one of the best left-handed bats in the league. They had him. They lose K Kenley Jansen and then trade for Craig Kimbrell. They just trade AJ Pollock. Oh, we don't need him.
Yeah.
We got
so many bats.
And not only going to get Kimbrell, but giving Kimbrell that ninth inning spot. Kimbrell was being wasted in Chicago. He can't pitch anything but the ninth inning.
Yes.
And the White Sox never figured that out.
Oh, yes, they did.
Well, they figured it out. They figured it out the hard way.
Well, they figured it out when they made that trade.
They did figure that out when they made that trade, that it was not going to be – there was not going to be peaceful coexistence if Liam Hendricks is your ninth inning guy and you're going to have Craig Kimbrell out there throwing gasoline on a fire in the eighth. Don't do it. They made the right move. Dodgers, that's one of those moves where both teams made. Both teams win, right?
White Sox
get an experienced, good hitting outfielder, and the Dodgers get their Kenley Jansen replacement. So that's some shrewd baseball. So you can't beat that. You know what I like about when I look at the roster, especially with the Dodgers, and I look at their pitching rotation, right? Their top four guys all homegrown. That is what gives you the ability to go and make all of these great deals for all of these offensive guys. It's the opposite Cubs strategy, which was to load up on all the homegrown position players and then fill in pitching in free agency. But the Dodgers have it, and, Buehler and Kershaw, the Dodgers are going to win that division. That lineup is just ridiculous.
Yes. Death, taxes, and the Dodgers winning the division is pretty much a given.
Yeah.
They wanted to fortify the top of that rotation. Imagine if Trevor Bauer wasn't rapey and assaulting them and was slotted in number two or three in that rotation. That would be one of the sickest rotations in baseball, maybe the sickest. But unfortunately for him, he's suspended indefinitely.
He's on Deshaun Watson leave, right? He's got desk duty.
Yeah, the league is looking at him and say, you know what, go sit in a corner, and when we decide to come get you and let you participate again, we'll let you know. But until we decide that, go sit over there and think about what you've done. That's basically what they're doing with him. Yeah, they win a shit ton of games. They replace kind of one kind of almost shaky closer. And I love Kenley Jansen, but he had some moments last year where it was like, is he falling apart? Is this the end? And he rebounded and got himself back on, and then they bring in another shaky kind of closer in Kimbrel. Like you said, he's great when he actually is the closer, but when he's not, it's like, I don't know about him. But they're definitely doing the right thing by telling him you got the ninth and just concentrate on that, because we know you're no good otherwise. So that's about all you can do with him.
And there's guys behind them who will –
yeah.
There's closer quality guys behind him in case he falters.
Yes, that pin is mighty. It's absolutely a big key of why they're so dangerous, is because if he falters, then you still got Blake Treinen back there as the fireman, and you still got Brewster Gratterall, who they clearly don't trust. You know, Brewster Gratterall reminds me of, you remember Jabba? Remember Yankees bringing Jabba Chamberlain as the closer and waiting for the longest behind Mariano Rivera, and he never got there. They kept trying, but he just never,
Jabba rules.
Yeah, some guys, you got the fire in your arm and you got the 98 mile an hour fastball, but if you don't know where it's going, then it doesn't do you any good. And so Gratterall, he's on that watch right now. I don't know if he's going to be the next Jabba, where he doesn't ever really put it all together, but he's on that watch for now. But can't deny that it's a big time arm out there.
Who was the kid that the Tigers had the same problem with?
Matt Anderson. That's another one that just closer in waiting forever. They were still waiting for Matt Anderson to develop and bring that 100 mile an hour fastball. He's the big problem with that 100 mile an hour fastball. He doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah, there was another one with I think it was the Tigers, and they just kept trying to run out. There was this guy. He was always their closer of the future. Oh, Joe Jimenez.
Yeah.
He was their closer of the future.
Yeah, 100 miles an hour, and big problem.
Yes.
You don't know where it's going, and that's
kind
of hard to...
That's his problem.
Kind of hard to be the closer of the future when you have no idea where the ball is going when you let it go.
Right.
So, Dodgers clearly number one. We agree with the Giants at number two. They're not flashy. They're not spectacular. They're just solid.
But they're not winning 107 games again.
I'm not saying what they are and aren't going to do, because how the hell do I know? They very well
I'm
might.
I'm just saying. Because it's our, you know, it's our show, and we can be as definitive as we want, because nobody's going to remember any of this.
Right.
No, Carlos Rodon's going to fall apart, right? That's their big sign.
You got him falling apart?
What in Carlos Rodon's track record says he's going to stay healthy?
Well, fall apart. See, I thought you were going with.
No, I meant physically fall apart. No, I meant physically fall apart.
There's a very good chance he physically may fall apart. He definitely has trouble staying on the field. But he did it last year. Maybe he finally grew into it. Maybe, you know, you never know. But if he does stay healthy, he's a perfect compliment to Logan Webb. They bring him right in to slot in as number two. They can win 100 games again. I'm not saying they will. I am making them my third wild card team in the National League. I am making the Giants that.
Let me see. I too have the Giants as a wild card team, and I also have the Padres. So I've got the Mets, the Giants, and the Padres as my one, because I don't have a wild card out of the Central.
Right, and neither do I.
The problem with the Central is, even though the Brewers probably win it, they probably win it at 91. You know, nobody ever seems to win the Central, even if they run away with it. They win by default.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of 100-win teams in the Central.
It's like it's like the White Sox this year. They're just going to win the Central by default.
Well, they might win 100 because they're loaded, but
they might. They might because everybody else in that division might lose 100.
Well, before you say why you have the Padres as a wild card, let me just say why I don't. I can't. I can't trust them. There's no bigger mystery in baseball than Fernando Tatis. He didn't want surgery for that shoulder that popped out 18 times last year.
Right.
So that's already a mystery. Then he's out with he's not out because of that right now. He's out with a broken wrist that he got from throwing his motorcycle on the ground. So they live or die with him, and right now they're dying because he can't manage to stay on the field. And so, I can't trust the Padres.
No, I mean, they get he's just such a talent. You can get half of a decent season out of him. I like that rotation. I like you, Darvish. I like Joe Musgrove. Oakland doesn't know what the hell. Well, Oakland knows what they're doing. It's not winning ball games. And they trade Sean Manaea, their best starter. I mean, so the Padres could pitch. Even without Tatis, they can hit. It's not a great bullpen, but it's a deep bullpen. So, I don't have – I mean, the Padres, to me, are the definition of just – they're just solid. They're a solid team. I don't think they fall flat on their face, though, like they did last year. Sometimes teams do that, and then they kind of turn around and learn from it. No way that team's four games under 500 again.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could happen. I mean, that's way too loaded up. That happens to them again, then they're the Mariners.
Oof. You don't want to be the Mariners.
You don't want to be the Mariners.
Only thing I want to say about Colorado is Chris Bryant going there can put up Todd Helton numbers in that stadium. And don't you dare tell me Chris Bryant is not as good a hitter as Todd Helton. And Todd Helton put up Holfer numbers, basically. So I'm scared as hell of what Chris Bryant might do. I really wanted to draft him in fantasy, but somebody snatched him like in the third round or something. But that could be a huge signing for them. I'm going to take them over Arizona. You know, obviously the lack of pitching, there's always a downfall for the Rockies.
You never know how good any of these guys are, right? I mean, you can always take them. You can always go and look at the home and road splits, and there are some of their pitchers are okay. Kyle Freeland's not a buster.
Right, but if that's the best you got, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's your ace. And you know what? They do. Alex Colomé is a good closer. There are decent pitchers in their bullpen, but the Rockies aren't very good. But I don't like I think they're a little worse than a little better than the Diamondbacks. Or did I have them last? Hang on. I had the
Rockies
last. Yeah, Rockies last. I had the D-backs just a little bit ahead of them.
I couldn't with the D-backs. That's such a lack
of
talent.
They're bad, too. They're bad.
Yeah. A lot of play-hard, grindy guys.
Yeah.
You know, you're surrounding your boy, Ketel Marte, your favorite.
Oh, man.
He's their franchise now.
Oh, my God.
So So that's
he had 32 home runs a few seasons ago. He's never hit half of that in any other season. What the hell?
But he's the best they got, man. He's the franchise.
Man.
Dodgers, obviously, the big favorites to win the West, -225. Padres +325 behind them, and then Giants +550. So still not a lot of respect for the Giants after what they did last year. And I don't blame them. It's hard to imagine them, again, being hugely successful, but you can't deny that they just know how to win. And then Rockies +8,000, Diamondbacks +10,000. So technically, BetMGM is with me saying the D-backs are a little worse. But, of course, when you're talking about going down that road, it really doesn't matter either way.
We're kind of splitting hairs when we're talking about that level of bad.
Definitely. D-backs +1,500 to make the playoffs, -5,000 to make it, and Rockies +1,100 to make it, and -2,500 not to. And Dodgers, of course, is the big money drain. If you want to pick them to make the playoffs, you have to put up $1,000 to make 100, and +650 if you have them just choking on it and missing the playoffs altogether.
I would have made Giants money on the Seahawks this last year.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
that one seems tough. I mean, you never know. I mean, things could happen. Team falls flat on their face. Plane crashes.
Giants are close. -130 to make a playoff run. +110 not to. And Padres, a little money here if you don't believe in them like I don't. +200 not to make the playoffs. That's you could double your money there if you don't believe they're going to make it.
Wow.
-275 for them to make the playoffs.
All right. So just quick recap our National League here. That means I have the Phillies, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Giants, and the Padres in the playoffs.
Okay. And I have Braves, Cardinals, Dodgers, division winners, Mets, Marlins, Giants as wild cards.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of differences there. Okay,
we are not
good.
Kumbaya. We have some big-time differences there, so that's good. On to the junior circuit and the American League East, our favorite division to talk about.
Oh, man, I love it. We could spend 5 hours on this. It'd be just like a Red Sox-Yankees game. If we've got this same order, I'd be shocked. But I'm going, here we go, AL East, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles.
Yeah, not the same. Those four teams, you can kind of jumble them up.
Is a jumble, isn't it?
Yeah, because that Orioles outfit is obviously dead last. I'm going Yankees on top, followed by the Blue Jays, and then the Rays, and then the Red Sox, and then the Orioles.
Okay. I actually have the Rays as the only one coming out of there with the Blue Jays. I actually have the Red Sox and the Yankees out of the playoffs this year.
Woo!
Yeah.
So you have Rays as a wild card. That's hot. That is
Rays as a wild card. So you got the Yankees first place, huh?
I got the Yankees number one, and I will also be.
They're going to hit 1,000 home runs this year.
By the way, I will take two other teams from the AL East to grab wild card spots. Just like in the National League, I'm taking two wild cards out of the Eastern Division.
Okay.
I'm taking the Blue Jays and the Rays. I'm agreeing with you on Tampa as a wild card team.
So we both have the Red Sox out.
You both have Boston out, as long as they're going to insist that they can navigate this division with Matt Barnes as their fucking closer. I am downgrading the Boston Red Sox. How do you not learn that lesson? He's not the answer. He absolutely put a can of gasoline on his head and set himself on fire last year. They're coming right back with him again. Like, what are you
this
doing?
This is why just so you know, for our fantasy league, this is why I am not throwing Jake Diekman back.
Because he might be very useful. You never know.
He's an $8 setup guy, which is expensive for a setup guy. He's getting saves.
He very well might.
Just saying. There's a reason why I kept him.
And I loved the Trevor Story signing. Because, again, his numbers are going to be lower than in Colorado. Yeah, no shit. But he's still damn good.
Right.
And you're so loaded there that you have to throw him over at second base because you already got a great shortstop in my guy, the Aruba native, Xander Bogaerts.
Right. Oh, I have no worries about that offense.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that lineup. Yeah, the lineup for the Red Sox 1 through 7 is dynamite. They're awesome. You know, Jackie Bradley, he's a defensive center fielder, and he'll probably platoon. Vasquez, he's a catcher, right? He's a guy.
Yep.
Maybe he does some pitch framing for you, but yeah, he's clearly, you know. But it's the question marks in the rotation with Chris Sale out. James Paxton, he won't be back until late. I mean, that could
right.
be, you know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, that thing could sneak out. And he's injury prone anyways. Who knows what you get out of a guy like him when he comes back. But, yeah, that 3-4-5, I'm a Tanner Houck guy. I like Tanner Houck. I own him in our fantasy league. He's a buck. I'm keeping him. I like him. But, yeah, Michael Wacha and Rich Hill. Oof.
Good luck.
Ooh. Okay.
In that division.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's a reason why we both have the Red Sox out.
Yeah.
You like the Yankees, though. Expand on that.
You know, the lineup, of course, powerful, very mighty, and they reload with Josh Donaldson at third. Kiner Falafa comes in at short. They're going to fortify.
This might be the slowest team in baseball. I'm just going to
okay.
throw that out there right now. Just saying.
Giancarlo
Weaver stuff going on right here. This is the Earl Weaver classic team.
When Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are hitting him 450 feet, you don't have to run around the bases.
That's true.
That's the deal with them. The key is going to be the rotation.
Yeah.
If they get a healthy Luis Severino back to fortify that, to go along with Gerrit Cole, the ace. Jordan Montgomery is a good guy to have, that lefty that can get innings and mix up lineups. You're not running a train of righties out there all the time and let teams just set up and do what they want to do. You can actually throw a wrench in their plans a little bit. Jameson Taillon is got talent. He hasn't been what he was in Pittsburgh, but he's still got a chance to make something of himself. And I saw this J.P. Sears guy throw a little bit as another lefty, I believe, in spring training. And he's showing some potential. So they got some guys that can throw. They still got Aroldis Chapman closing. He was just like Kenley Jansen. He had some moments last year. It was like, is this the end? Are they going to have to downgrade him? But even if he falters again, I like their backups with Loaisiga and Chad Green. I think
yeah.
they got enough guys to fortify things down there. Yeah, I just, you know, fall in love with the Bash brothers, the new Bash brothers there, Judge and Stanton. Staying healthy, of course, is the big key for them. They like to get hurt a lot. Those bodies are not necessarily meant for 162 games, but if they navigate, you know what they're going to do. You know, they're going to, Joey Gallo, all the offense that they got there, Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, that lineup is loaded. And, they're going to compete. They're going to Bash with every other team in that division, and it's going to be fireworks again. That's what they do every year. And so I just think the Yankees are going to sneak out on top of the Blue Jays just barely.
Yeah, teams like this, though, teams that are veteran, put together, let's swing for the fences pretty much type teams, these teams never really impress me. We've seen teams try this before, and I know they're the Yankees, and there's the Yankee mystique, and I'm not saying the Yankees are going to be trash, but they're going to win a lot of games 10-8. They're going to lose
yep.
a lot of games 2-0, because when you have lineups that are primarily constructed out of power hitters, trust me, I know this. I watched the Cubs try to do this. Or you don't have rallies. You get a lot of guys. You get bases loaded with nobody out, and the next three guys strike out.
Whiff, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what worries me is this lineup construction. There's no – how do you manage this lineup? It's going to be super easy. There's going to be no hit and runs. There's going to be no double steals. There's going to be zero managing. This is going to – like I said, this is Earl Weaver, right? This is,
Right, who's the next basher up? All right, go get them.
Yeah, you're waiting around for 3-run homers. The problem, I think, is this team is going to lead the league in solo home runs. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
It is if
it is good if you had eight of them.
Right. If four guys have like 40 of them.
Right. But this is going to be a team that's going to frustrate and can go through some prolonged struggles. And that's my worry when you have this many guys who are just swinging for the fences. So
sure.
Just some reservations. And again, the rotation, it's all right. but we both like the Blue Jays. I just like them a little bit more than you do.
The Blue Jays are freaking loaded. I mean, how can you not like them?
They're young and they're loaded. And that's what really impresses me about the Blue Jays is that offense that's mostly homegrown, you know, and all these, you know, how we talked about this with the Strohs and we talked about this with the Cubs. It's not easy to have this many prospects all click, right?
That actually pan out.
Right. And all of these guys for them are coming up and then the shrewd moves that they're making and the guys that they're signing, you know, even guys like Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, who? I mean,
right.
Nobody was even, trade away and get him from Houston, a few years ago, and now look at him. And then you just have all your Biggio and Bichette and Vlad Jr. And then they go and they trade for the best defensive third baseman in all of baseball, you know, to hold down. You know, and Matt Chapman's not going to be required anymore to sit there at the two or the three hole. They can drop him way down in the order and let him hit 220, but he's going to hit 30 home runs. So, yeah, that team is that offense. That is the, you know, sort of the anti-Yang. There is some speed in that lineup. That's fun.
Yeah, Raimel Tapia is the perfect example, I think, of a shrewd move because they add a guy that he's not just fast, he hits for contact. He's going to get on base at the top of that lineup and hit from the left side. And I always liked Tapia in Colorado, and I, that's one of those moves that no one really thinks much of when it happens, but I really did like that move to sort of fill out a lineup that's already loaded. You know you're loaded when you lose Marcus Semien, and you're still a monster lineup. Like, Jesus. So, you know, they got the young guys, and Vlad Jr. developing last year into an MVP candidate is really what sets them apart from a lot of these teams. Is if you got a whole team full of guys that can bash, that's great, but you still need one guy that you can depend on. And last year, Vlad became the dependable guy, the guy that every game, no matter what your lineup is doing, if everyone else is slumping, you still got to watch for him because he's still mashing. He didn't have any really low streaks or cold slumps or anything like that. He was just hot. He started the year hot and he stayed hot the entire year. So if he repeats that there, they're going to be very, very tough.
Yeah. And with the Blue Jays, if there's anywhere where I get a little worried, I love their rotation, but I don't like their bullpen.
Yeah. Can Jordan Romano hold up as the closer is the big question there.
Yeah. The nice thing about closers is they're kind of a dime a dozen, right? I mean,
you hope you can find
the great ones are hard to find, but sometimes, you know, hey, especially when you're a closer that has question marks, you know, the leash is usually pretty short. You know, coach isn't going to let you just go out there and get flamed every night before he decides to make a move. And then you just start trying other guys. And if it becomes a season long problem, then, you know, maybe I am a little too high on the Blue Jays, but I've got the Blue Jays winning that division.
I can see it. I absolutely can see it happening.
And what else do you say about the Rays? They're the Terminator.
They keep winning games.
You cannot reason with them. You cannot stop them. You cannot kill them.
They know how to win, and they do it in a way that no one else does it. But they don't know who
any of the guys are unless you're baseball nerds like us. You don't know who these guys are. That lineup doesn't jump out at you. But man, they just keep winning.
They won't know how to do it. Wander Franco just would not stop getting on base. He's a rookie, and he just would not stop.
Yeah.
He fits right in with that team and that lineup. Like, he's not, you know, hitting 30 homers, but he can't stop getting on base. He can't stop doing the things to help you win games.
And that's what drives you crazy. When you look at teams like the Rays and then the Yankees, right, the Rays are the anti-Yankees. They are going to grind you out. They're going to take walks. They're going to steal bases. They're going to have rallies. They're going to hit and run. The Rays have all of the options. They're not. They don't have a lineup, you know, 1 through 7 of 40 home run guys. They just don't.
They just have guys that know how to win.
And they will, and they'll bullpen you to death, and they're not afraid of it.
They invented it. All these other teams are really mocking them. And you know, they're the ones that invented the, you know, what are we going to do today? I don't know. Throw somebody out there for 2 innings and then have someone piggyback behind him.
You don't need all these number one starters when your whole team is fours, and then you can just keep using them, and you got a fresh guy every time through their order. I hate it. I don't think it's baseball, but nobody does it better than the Rays.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. Aesthetically, it's not fun to pull up on a Sunday afternoon
Watch. You know why we hate it. We hate it for fantasy reasons. That's why we hate it.
Because you don't know who to draft.
Who's going to get wins out of that rotation? You don't know. Who's pitching? Was that one season they had a reliever with like 17 wins?
All right, he's not starting, but he's the bolt guy. So he comes in the third and vultures the victory from the starters. Ugh.
Right. Yeah.
Aggravating. But effective.
I'm not taking anything away from the Rays, and I have them in the playoffs, I believe. I do.
We both have them as wild cards.
I have the Blue Jays and the Rays out of the East.
And Baltimore. Ugh.
I don't know what the plan is in Baltimore.
No, neither do they.
I mean,
they have some good young hitters too.
They got Santander and Mountcastle. They got Adley Rutschman, who's the top prospect in baseball. What
but
are
that
you gonna
division
do?
Is murder, so
that, right. I mean, that's, you know, that's like you're on. It's like being the best player on the Lions, and you know you're in the in the Packers division, or you're the best player on the Seahawks now, and you know you're looking up at the Cardinals, the Rams, and the. Oh, God, the Cardinals, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing that we talk about in football. It doesn't matter. You just the Orioles are in this window where they're just going to be bad for a really long time and need some of these other – I mean, the Blue Jays and – oh, man, it's just not going their way. And like you said, there's talent there. There's homegrown talent there.
Yeah, coming along, but when you talk about that division, it's just like don't even think about them.
It's murder.
Contending anytime soon. So,
They'll be happy not to win 100 games, which I don't think they'll happen.
Definitely the big underdog.
I mean, happy not to lose 100 games. I'm sorry. They won't win 100.
In the division, BetMGM is with you. Blue Jays are the favorite in the AL East, plus 180. Yankees right behind them, plus 230. Rays right behind that, plus 240. And Red Sox back. Plus 600, so they're with us. We got the Red Sox sort of a step behind those three, and the bettors seem to agree. And then Orioles plus 15,000 to win the AL East.
So if I just go put $20 down, I'd win three large. If the Orioles, I might as well just go and get $20 and light it on fire.
Exactly, flush it down the toilet. O's, if you want to short them, you got to lay down $10,000 to win $100 to short the Orioles.
I don't need $100 that bad. I swear.
The playoffs, and plus $1,800 to make the playoffs. Red Sox, plus minus -115 to make the playoffs, and minus -105 not to. Right there, even on the edge there. And then Yankees big favorites to make it, minus -400 to make the playoffs, plus +300 to not make it. The Rays are minus -225 to make the playoffs and plus +175 to miss it. And then the Blue Jays, also with the Yankees big favorites to make the playoffs, minus -400 and plus +300 to not make it. So that's the AL East. Moving on from there to the division of my White Sox, the AL Central. How do you see that breaking down?
Boy, I've got the Sox, and then everybody else sucks. But I've got the Sox, the Twins, the Tigers, the Royals, and the Cleveland Baseball Club.
The Guardians?
No, I'm just gonna Washington football team these guys from the, for forever now. Just call them. I literally have it in my notes. CBC. I'm just gonna call them the Cleveland Baseball Club. Wait till I do it at the draft.
Oh, you're gonna make O'Day's face turn red if you do that.
When I nominate somebody from the Cleveland Baseball Club.
I wonder what
how many of the guys in our room are still gonna. How many of the guys in our room are still gonna say Indians?
A lot of them, because we're old. They're all we're the young pups in the in that room. We're 46, and we're much younger than a lot of those guys.
Nope,
so
Cleveland Baseball Club. That's my. I can't get used to this Guardians thing or Commanders or whatever.
That's even worse. I think.
Yeah.
The Commies. We're a little mixed up under the White Sox. Don't have to talk a whole lot about it, but I got White Sox, Tigers second, then Twins.
A distant,
then,
I'm guessing a distant second.
Yes. I definitely got the White Sox winning a lot of games this year, over 100, I would hope. Tigers, Twins, Guardians, Royals is how I finish out the Central.
Yeah, I don't even need to dwell too much on the teams behind them. I'm a little intrigued that you think that the Tigers are a second place ball club, but it doesn't matter because these teams are all winning 70 games or less is my best guess.
Probably, yeah.
Somebody
it's hard to imagine anyone winning 80.
500, but the Tigers are not good.
No, but at least they finally
Young pitching there. There is some interesting young pitching there. I will give you that. Tariq Skubal is good. I always want to call him Skubal, but Skubal. Be even better if he threw
Tariq
Skubal.
I like
Tariq
that.
Skubal.
I don't think he throws a Skubal, but he should.
He should. They would call it the Tariq Skubal.
Not a whole lot to talk about. I really do like him and Casey Mize's young guns, and then they bring in Eduardo Rodriguez to be the veteran arm. They actually went after some real talent in the offseason for the first time in forever.
They signed Javi
Rodriguez.
Javi
Baez, love the way he plays. Trade for Austin Meadows from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So they're actually trying to put a semblance of a lineup together for the first time in forever.
They have Methuselah DH.
Perez, Miguel Cabrera, and they're going to give the kid Spencer Torkelson a shot in the hot corner.
Though, I do like more this year than I've ever seen before. These top prospects aren't getting the Chris Bryant treatment. Did something change in the agreement? Because not a lot of these guys are getting the bullshit service time excuse. He needs more seasoning. We've got this Rodriguez kid, Bobby Witt Jr., Spencer Torkelson. They're just like a laundry list of all these top prospects the teams are actually bringing up with them. And it's refreshing.
Very refreshing. My sense or my guess at it is twofold. I think it's as simple as the ownership or the general managers make those decisions got so pantsed and embarrassed by all of the obvious manipulations. Yeah. That's what a lot of people were talking about for these negotiations with the lockout. Like that's something they did. And they really didn't even address that. The players gave in so fast because they were afraid of losing their salaries. They really didn't do anything about the service time manipulation. But it was talked about so much. I just think the GM got embarrassed by how silly it was. It was in my Facebook timeline that I was commenting 4 or 5 years ago about, I can't wait for Atlanta to find a reason to send this kid down for service time situations. And they did wind up sending him down. And that kid's name was Ronald Acuna. Yeah, he needed
more work. He needed more work.
Chris Bryant needed to be sent down because Mike Holt was the best option at third base. Get the fuck all the way out of here.
Gives us the best chance to win.
I think it was that they got embarrassed, and I think it's just the fact of the rosters being more open, carrying 28 right now instead of 25, 26. I think they have the spots, so why not?
Right. Well, you want to talk about a minefield that we're going to try to have to navigate on Saturday for our draft with these expanded rosters.
Yeah, guys being called up and being started at different positions.
You get all these guys late, and then they're all gone come May 2nd because they all get sent down, and you're just sitting there on nothing but open spots, and it's like not going to be fun. So
that'll be
fun.
That'll be interesting. You hope you pick the guys that actually perform well enough in April to stick around and don't get
now. The one thing I am noticing is most teams, all these extra players that they're carrying seem to be pitchers.
Yeah, definitely a lot of pitchers because again,
we're not seeing
a lot of these guys aren't stretched out yet.
Yeah, teams aren't carrying six catchers.
No, they're definitely carrying a lot more pitching, and then as the starters get stretched out, they'll be able to. So, yeah, I don't know how many of those guys that get demoted are going to be hitters because it's going to be a lot of these extra pitchers, a lot of these extra arms.
A lot of these guys won't get and a lot of these pitchers that are sitting there who are like mid and long relief type guys probably won't.
Yeah, they won't get drafted anyway.
So maybe it won't be as big of a problem as you think.
So, yeah, Tigers surprise and kind of sneak in second over Minnesota, who I always – you talk about one-dimensional. They fit perfectly in the AL East because all they do is mash
homers.
Yeah,
they fell on their face last year.
I figured they would. When you set a record
last
for most
place?
Home runs.
Did you think they'd go to last place?
I did not think they would go to last place, but I knew they wouldn't perform the way they had the last – whatever year that was a couple years ago where they set a record for most home runs. Like the Minnesota Twins, really? I knew that was a bubble that was going to burst. So what do you get an offense that's built to mash home runs? Scary Gary Sanchez. Let's send him over there. Let's get another guy that does nothing but bash a lot of home runs. Of course, the big move for them is Carlos Correa, the franchise stud. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Byron Buxton, but Byron Buxton loves the injured list. So we know that's
coming. Sure does.
So that's why I got the Twins to kind of fall off and the Tigers maybe the surprise and get past them.
Okay. Obviously, we both have your White Sox in first, and that's a solid team. Back end of that rotation is a little scary, but other than that, man, they can hit, they can pitch, they've got a great bullpen, one of the top closers in baseball, and not a whole lot of holes in that team right now.
Rodon gone, Lance Lynn just got hurt. I'm absolutely concerned about the pitching after Giolito, and I think it's Michael Kopech time is what that means. I think there's no more excuses, kid. Let's get out there. We need you. We need you to be a starter. We don't need you out of the pen. We need you to actually give us innings and show what you got. So that I think it's an opportunity for him if he wants to take that. A full year of Eloy, who was hurt, Eloy Jimenez, a full year of Luis Robert, who got hurt last year, in addition to all those other bats. Yes, please. I'll take all of that. And then can I just laugh one more time at the Kimbrel Pollard trade? Okay, so here's the thing. I've always been a fan of A.J. Pollard, a Pollock. I'm such a fan, I'm fucking his name up, A.J. Pollock.
AJ Pollard, that's how we're going to nominate him.
Very good contact hitter, very good speed when he's healthy. His big problem is he can't stay on the field too long either. But I think you put him in a perfect position in Chicago that you got the DH. You would have that in L.A. anyway this year.
Right.
But you haven't had it all these other years. When you played him, you had to put him out there in the outfield. I think they can DH him at times if they want. They can put him in right field if they want. You should get a lot more production out of him because he shouldn't be as beat up because you can you don't have to play him every day with this lineup. And I'm laughing because you traded Craig Kimbrel for him. You traded nothing for him because Craig Kimbrel, when he's not a closer, is nothing. He's actually hurting your team, and everybody knows that. And
that is
that's
correct.
Why I'm laughing because
that
the Dodgers.
That's why I said that was a trade that helped both teams.
They knew they had to know that they're trading for a guy that if they don't use him as their closer is actually going to hurt them. Everybody knows that at this point. And they still gave up an asset for him. That's how loaded the Dodgers are. They could do that. But I love that trade for the White Sox because they weren't going to be able to use Kimbrel anyway. Because if he's not the closer, he's no good. And everyone knows that. So they got A.J. Pollock for nothing as far as I'm concerned. So that's why I'm laughing at that.
I didn't understand the Kimbrel trade when they made it.
Well, I understood it, but the problems came obviously when they got him over there and they found out firsthand, oh shit, when he's not the closer, he's kind of bad.
Some guys need the juice, right? It's like we talk about the closer in the non-save situation. Well, the eighth inning is a non-save situation.
They were trying to do what you were talking about, like the Royals when they won the title, just nail down the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth.
But what really worked for the Royals, though, was each guy knew his role.
Sure.
They didn't try to just dump closers into these extra spots. Kimbrel just wasn't that guy. It would have been no different if they traded for Aroldis Chapman and said, Aroldis, you're our eighth inning guy now.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have went well either.
It wouldn't, right. It's not Kimbrel's fault. That's just not how he's wired. So, no, it was a good trade for both teams. I don't think anybody got fleeced or anything, but, like, yeah, he needed to go, and they got talent. They got something for him. So, yeah, I can see your perspective saying that they went on that side too.
He was nothing. He wasn't even going to pitch the seventh because they brought in Graveman. So he wasn't even going to be that high. So they gave up nothing for something. So I always love that. So Cleveland KC, we also flipped. Why is it always such a struggle for the – I mean, the Guardians.
The Cleveland Baseball Club?
Yeah, to find offense. It's such a – they got Jose Ramirez, and then they're always struggling to find somebody.
They're trying – there's rumors that they're trying to trade him to San Diego now.
Oh, so they're trying to tank.
Yes.
Maybe I should flip-flop this KC fourth like you got.
Well, the days of the dominant rotation are over. I mean, so that's part of it. That's what kept them in contention for all those years. The offense didn't have to be great when you had that rotation. When you had that rotation with Carrasco and Bauer. And Kluber. Yeah. I mean, you just 1-2-3, boom, boom, boom. I mean, it got them to a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
No longer
they
the
suck.
Case.
Yeah. It's simple.
Well, they got Shane Bieber, but he got hurt.
Yeah. And everybody wants the Royals to be something. The Royals aren't very good.
You can't be something if you're making Donald Zachary Greinke your ace in 2022. This isn't 2004.
Right.
That's their guy. That's their number one pitcher. The ageless one, Zach Greinke. And boy, he is not anywhere near what he used to be.
And you look at a lot of these, look at a lot of the pedigree of the rest of these guys that they're going to run out there as starters. And a lot of these stats look like Rockies starters. That's not good.
That's definitely not a compliment. So that's the AL Central. Obviously the White Sox a huge favorite there, -200.
And
follow
the good news is that we aren't leaving ourselves 30 seconds to do the last division.
That's good. Followed by Twins +500, Tigers +750, Guardians +1,000, Royals +1,600 for the AL Central. For money to short or put long on these teams, the White Sox are obviously going to take a lot of money to make the playoffs. You have to bet $400. To make 100 on the White Sox making the playoffs, they are +300 to miss the playoffs. The Indy Guardians Baseball Club, I'm looking for I under Indians because I'm so used to it. I have to look for G for Guardians. +350 to make the playoffs, -450 to not make it. Followed by the Twins are +200 to make the playoffs, -250 to not make the playoffs. The Tigers +300 to make the playoffs, -400 to not make it. That's much closer odds than usual. If you don't think the Tigers are going to make the playoffs, which is probably a good bet, to get them at -400 is actually shorter than normal. It's much shorter. So if you want to take that chance, but you do that, you're taking a risk that those people that they picked up don't pay off, and they might pay off. What if Javi Baez has an MVP type season and actually leads him to, 82, 83 wins? It could happen. You never know. And then the Royals +450 to make the playoffs, -650 to make it. I think that's a pretty safe bet as well. All right. That final division that we talked about, the AL West. Have you seen
that? Yeah. And it's a fun one. So this, I wouldn't be shocked if this one bleeds over a little bit. I'm going against all of my experience on this show when you hear this.
No, you're not doing it.
Mariners.
No, again.
Astros, Angels, Rangers, and the worst team in baseball, the Oakland A's.
No safer bet than the A's finishing fifth.
The A's might be worse than the Orioles and the Pirates this year. They're the worst team in baseball.
They're trying to. They want to be. It's so shameful. They are trying as hard as they can. They're left with Frankie Montas as their ace, and they're going to get rid of him soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're trying to have nobody left.
Anybody who shows a glimmer on that team that's traded.
Go. Leave.
First guy on that team that goes 4-for-4, trade him.
Yeah, got to go. Tony Kemp, got to go. Absolutely shameful. For me, it is Astros at the top again. Angels second, then Rangers, then Mariners four, then Oakland. So we're definitely going to have some speaks about this. And I will also, by the way, take the Angels as a wild card team, my third wild card.
Oh, okay. I have the Astros and the Angels as wild card teams. So I have three teams. I have the Mariners, the Astros, and the Angels. All coming out of the West.
Out of the West.
Because I believe
a lot of
those
talent
three
in the
teams,
West, huh?
Those three teams are going to get so fat on the Rangers and and the A's this year.
Could be.
You know, that's not four deep like in the East, where you got four teams that only get the Orioles to beat up on. The Rangers and the A's are going to get, I think they're going to get feasted on by those other three. You've got the Astros back in first again. And that's not, I mean, that's not like it's a big shock or anything.
No, not at all.
So.
Minus 165, by the way, to win the division. So pretty hefty favorite. That's one of my last scouting memories for Houston. When I'm talking about the games that I used to do down here for Baseball Info Solutions, when I used to, are you a scout? Sort of, maybe. But, you know, watching those games and scoring those games, and you can see some guys, and there's so many guys over the years that I saw. I did that for 6 years and enjoyed every minute of it. And there's some guys that you just see and you go, man, that's a baseball player. That's a star. That's a guy right there. And I'm not going to go through all the names, but one of the last ones that I ever saw that fit that mold for the Houston Astros, Kyle Tucker, man, when that kid walked up to the plate the first time when I was sitting there watching, I was like, oh, shit, that, he just looked like a baseball player, man. I can't even describe exactly what that means, but the way he carried himself, the way he carried the bat, some guys walk up there and it looks like that's the first time they ever held a bat because they're just not that good at hitting. He did not look like that. He looked like he knew exactly what to do, how to stand, how to crouch in his stance. Everything about him just looked like and you saw it. If you've seen him play last year, you know that's a baseball player. That's an all-star. He might win an MVP before he's done. That's a real one right there, Kyle Tucker. And by the way, Justin Verlander's coming back. So, yeah, the Astros are reloaded again.
No, that's can't take a whole lot away from you on that one. I see that, man. It's just such that it's really going to be three teams, I think, just cannibalizing each other all year. And I just got that weird feeling. I got that weird feeling about the Mariners. So how many times have we picked the Mariners to be good?
A lot. Seems like every year.
There's definitely talent there. There's some homegrown talent there. There's trade talent there. They basically took two of the better players from the tanking Reds in Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez, who had a down season last year. I mean, he was pretty much Rob Deere in it last year. And, you know, what it was a home run or strikeout. I mean, they obviously, you know, we talked about Torkelson and you've got this Julio Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. He's five tools. Sometimes he's five tool guys. You know, the guy who's batting right after him is supposed to be that guy, Jared Kelenic, right? That didn't happen. So it doesn't always happen. Alex Kirilloff or all of these guys, you know, these highly touted guys. I guarantee you of all these guys who are coming north with the team, several of them will not be with the team come June 1st. Mm-hmm. Somebody is going to fall flat on his face. But I like that lineup. The pitching is it's not great. It's not terrible either. I mean, it's not the Rockies, it's not the A's, it's not the O's. There's talent there. The bullpen is guys. That's the one weakness that I look at with the Mariners, it is a bullpen full of guys. I'm interested to see who comes out of the wash and gets the saves for them, because there's a lot of previous closers and high leverage guys. You got Diego Castillo and Sergio Romo. There's guys there that we know can do it if they're needed to. So we'll see who actually ends up getting the call for them. But it's a talented team. They feel like the Blue Jays felt to me like last year. So maybe I'm a year too early on the Mariners. I fully admit that. But I also have the Astros and the Angels behind them in playoffs.
This is the line that I wrote about the Mariners. A year away again? They're always a year away. We are
always
talking
away.
About the Mariners. Maybe next year, one more year. I feel they're coming on. That's why I couldn't trust them. I've done it. I've been burned by them too many times. I couldn't do it. Can't do
it. I'll tell you what. The Angels, you went the Angels second?
Yes.
I went with the Angels third, and I'll tell you why. This whole Ohtani thing, and I know he won the MVP and everybody loves Ohtani. It's a clown show to me. It really is. It's stardom to the detriment of actually trying to go out there and win ball games. And it's like, they're just doing things to try to keep Shohei Ohtani happy. How about you go out and win some damn baseball games?
That'd be nice.
And yeah, I mean, that's a team that won 77 games last year with the MVP, and Mike Trout was barely there, but there's a lot of talent up and down that lineup. A lot of guys come up. You got Joe Adell come up last year. They've got Anthony Rendon over there now. There's definitely guys there. The six-man rotation thing, though, again, all to make sure it's a carnival, and that's why I don't have a whole lot of faith in them. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to see Mike Trout make the playoffs once in his career?
That would be really nice.
That would be really nice.
We're both picking it to happen.
And I've got him in as probably the last wild card. But, man, it's a circus. And that's why I have so much trouble. And I don't think they get very far once they do make the playoffs, no matter how good the bullpen is. You're never going to go anywhere with the six-man rotation. Ohtani will fall apart if they're going to keep doing this. You know, and you're not doing your other pitchers any benefits either by trying to extend this thing all out, all for one guy, because it's the Shohei Ohtani circus. So we're even changing the rules of the game for this guy. Yeah, I'm not in.
Right.
He's a singular talent. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying it's all to the detriment of this team trying to win baseball games.
I will definitely stop short of calling it a circus, but I see your concern. I'm concerned too. That 1-2 starting pitching combo is maybe the shakiest in all of baseball, because Shohei is always a risk to get rested randomly because he's hitting so much, because he has this other job as the best.
Or he's hitting in the same game.
Right. Please appreciate, by the way, what he's doing, and I'm glad you said that you're not crapping on him himself, because we've never seen anything like this. I say it every year, and I'm amazed when he first did it, and I'm still amazed. We've never seen it. He's the best slugger on the team, and he's the ace. We've never seen anything like that. But he's, like you said, he's at a risk to always you always got to stretch out the rotation for him and make sure he gets an extra day of rest, because he's so tired, because he's actually carrying the team on his back offensively as well as being the ace. And then the second pitcher is Thor, and you talk about always hurt. Noah Syndergaard, there's no shakier 1-2 than that. So that's why I couldn't pick him to win the division. But we're going with the talent. There's obviously talent there. That Trout guy is back. We're going with that talent just to sort of find a way to make it to the end of the season in a position to make the playoffs. Yeah, they might beat up on Oakland and Texas. Obviously, everyone's going to beat up on Oakland. But yeah, it's definitely shaky there. It's definitely not a fait accompli that the Angels are going to make a playoff spot, because they never do, even with Trout. They never seem to make it.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I'm not trying to crap on your boy. I know Shohei's your boy, and I do appreciate what he's doing, but yeah,
love Shohei Ohtani.
It's a clown show. Not him. just the pretzel knots that the organization and the and MLB and everybody is turning themselves into over this guy. They're not winning a title this way. It's just not going to happen.
15 seconds live, your world champion and mine, and then we'll continue later.
My world champion is the Blue Jays.
Mine is the Dodgers. Oh, I don't think I got mine in. Oh, well.
Yours is the Dodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually went my NLCS, I went Brewers over Mets. I actually have the Blue Jays beating the Brewers in the World Series.
Wow.
And then I had the Brewers, I had the Blue Jays over the Mariners. Because why not? It doesn't matter who they beat. It only matters who wins. So I've got the Blue Jays winning it all this year. I think they're that good. They also are one of those talent-rich teams who's in a position to deal if they need to.
Sure.
So I like the Blue Jays. Last year I liked the Padres. There's a theme here. Maybe, you know what the theme hopefully isn't for the Blue Jays? They're going to win 79 games. Hopefully that's not the theme. Do we want to talk at all about the atrocity in Oakland? Because I thought what the Reds and the Cleveland Baseball Club were doing was bad. Oakland is, man, that is, how do you get away with this?
Because it's baseball and they let you. And that's the shameful part is they're not even trying to compete and everyone knows it.
And they're not even hiding it.
No. It's just naked as hell, and that's about all I got to say about it. It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And then they're going to try to extort and get a new stadium built after that as well. Just not competing at all.
There are very few quality bats left in that lineup. I mean, there's guys. I'm not saying that every guy in their lineup is an easy out. You've heard of all these guys in their lineup, but this is not. I don't have the faith in them to put this group of guys together in a lineup like I'd say if this was the same offense in Tampa, they'd win the division because they just mine talent and get effort out of guys like no other team does. Oakland, this is just bare naked, we're dumping, we suck. That can't be fun showing up to work every day knowing that. So all these guys are doing is playing, trying to build up their trade value and get the hell out of there.
Who's the best hitter in the lineup now? Sean Murphy?
I hope so. He's our catcher.
Yeah, I know. But, like, who's left?
Jed Lowry's a good hitter. He's not a power bat. At least it's for a little bit of average. He's done it before. But it's just dudes. It's just – yeah. And then where's the – there's not a lot of guys that we're waiting for who are going to come up, and that are going to, they're just clearing the decks for youngsters. They're not really doing that.
No,
either.
They're just dumping salary. They're just clearing the decks, period.
Right. So, some of these trades and some of these guys that they've gotten rid of. Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about the players that they're getting in return. Because they're obviously not getting top tier guys in return. They're just bad, and it's pretty shameful for a team that this was the Moneyball team, right? And this was
many years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago.
But this was the team. This was the Sabermetrics poster child team. This was the we're just gonna put together a roster of metrics guys, and we're gonna somehow, and it worked. They won a lot of games doing it that way. Those days are over.
One game, sold books, made movies, the whole nine yards.
That rotation after Frankie Montas.
And like I said, Montas will be gone shortly, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and it'll be Cole Irvin. It will be the ace.
Okay.
Not winning a lot of games like that.
No, they're going to be really bad. And then the Rangers.
You got them basically almost in the same group as Oakland, like at the total bottom. And I don't have them ahead of Seattle.
Which I was really surprised by. They definitely signed players. They're trying. I'll give them that.
Yeah, exactly. They're, you know, just like Detroit, they're finally signing guys, actually giving money out to good baseball players. So
be interesting to see what they can get out of John Gray now that he's out of Colorado. Not that he's going to a much better pitching situation, but it's better.
It is better. Definitely. And it's much better than the old Texas Stadium before this one, because that one was about as bad as Coors Field when it got warm down there in Dallas in the Metroplex. So this is a lot better than that. Yeah, but hard press for the Rangers to find and remember a higher quality middle infield free agency year. Like the same year, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager in the same year. Like, holy fuck.
That's some good money. They spent some good money.
So they're going to try to bash teams into submission, and they're going to win a lot of 7-5 games as well. Yeah, the pitching is obviously not very good. Never has been for the Rangers.
Yeah, you know, hopefully for us, since we own Marcus Semien, hopefully he can repeat that 45 home run effort that he had in Toronto last year. But we'll see.
Well, he might give it a good try. Well, we'll take 30 and 20. How about that?
I would take 30 home runs out of a second baseman shortstop anytime.
And Jose Adolis Garcia is another guy that was down here as a Memphis Redbird that I root for, because I thought he was a good prospect. Now he's turned it up a notch since going to Texas, but he's doing well, and I'm hoping that he's going to continue that. And there's guys that I think that can be surprising. I'm not going to say will definitely surprise, but when you talk about guys that have done some damage at the major league level in their careers, Mitch Garver and Nathaniel Lowe and Cole Calhoun from Anaheim, and they've done it before. I'm not saying they're going to be all stars this year, but there's actually some talent there. There's actually a lineup that is not a cakewalk, not like Oakland. So that's why I see Texas.
That offense, that 1-9, is one of the best ones in baseball. I will say that.
Potentially.
It's solid. It's not the Yankees where you got 40 home run guys like every turn. There's definitely guys who all have the ability to leave the yard up and down that lineup.
Yeah, they're gonna try to bash you. Yeah, the pitching's no good. I completely acknowledge that. I'm not even trying to pretend that they're any good. But yeah, just think they're gonna. You know, Seattle, like I said, they keep breaking your heart, and year away, one more year.
How long has it been though? We've been off. We've been off the Mariners for quite a few years.
As far as picking them to win the whole division, it's probably been a couple years at least.
So we'll see. I'm going back to the well.
Well, you know what? If Robbie Ray stays hot like last year in Toronto, you know, upgrading him as a staff ace over Yusei Kikuchi, it could be a huge upgrade. I like Kikuchi, but Robbie Ray, when he's on, is great. So I'm even picking him fourth. I'm admitting that the Mariners have a lot of potential. Those youngsters in the lineup, that you just mentioned. Man, that was some struggle going on there, some big time struggle when Kelenic came up, and it was bad, it was ugly. And maybe the sophomore year is different with the experience. Rodriguez, of course, has the juice right now. Everyone's talking him up as the 5-tool prospect. So
right,
we'll see. Yeah, there's some real talent there, but. Maybe not this year. Maybe next year. One more year for the Mariners. Keep saying it.
Oh, man.
AL
saying that
West...
being a Cubs fan.
Right. Wait till next year. Astros, the big favorites in the AL West, -165, followed by the Angels, +400. So they're with me as California being the second pick. Another old man reference there, the California Angels, followed very closely by the Mariners +450 as the third pick. Then the big fall off to Rangers +1600 to win the division, and Athletics +2500, which I think is an absolute disgrace. They should be +25 million to win the AL West. If the Oakland Athletics win the American League West, there is a serious problem going on right there. That should be the biggest odds to the short to not make the playoffs.
Would probably be the best. Whoever their coach is would win coach of the year, manager of the year.
Definitely.
If Oakland even sniffs playoff contention.
They are minus 1,000 if you want to bet them to not make the playoffs. That sounds unbelievable, except think about it. We already talked about Diamondbacks minus 5,000 to not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Baltimore Orioles in that division, minus 10,000 to not make the playoffs. That makes the A's minus 1,000 seem like almost a steal. Like, that's a bargain. I'm still not betting that. But it just, for comparison's sake, it makes it seem like, wow, that's pretty good odds. And plus 650 if you want to pick the A's to actually make the playoffs. Those Rangers are plus 550, big money for them to make the playoffs, if you believe in that, and minus 750 to miss the playoffs. The Mariners are plus 155 to make the playoffs. You might want to put some ducats on that if you really believe in the Mariners. One more year, but maybe this year. But minus 190 if you want to bet them to not make the playoffs. So still thinking on that side is what the betting odds would say. Houston, of course, is going to be the big favorite to make the playoffs, minus 400 and plus 300 if you want to bet them to not make the playoffs. And then the Angels, plus 150 to make the playoffs, minus 175 to miss the playoffs, which I understand because they usually miss the playoffs, so I get that.
Okay. I'm looking here at, this is Fangraphs. You talk about any stat you ever need for baseball. They have their playoff percentages here.
Okay.
For each team. So Blue Jays, they have 89% to make the playoffs. That's the is second highest in baseball to the Dodgers at 93.5%, which is insane.
Wow. Because
you have all these extra spots now, right? They have Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, Orioles as their order. Interesting. In the Central, White Sox, 71.5% chance to make the playoffs. 58% chance to win the division. The Twins are the only other one in double digits. So there you go. AL West, they've got, Astros, 85% chance to make the playoffs. Angels, 44. Mariners, 22. A's, 1.1% chance. Not happening.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, when you get to the World Series odds, A's are 0.0. NL East, Braves, 87. Boy, they love the Braves.
Ooh.
This year. 87.5% chance to make the playoffs. Mets, 68. Phillies, 62. So they're seeing that three-headed monster there. Marlins, only 29% chance. So you could be ahead of the game there, and the Nationals are not.
Trying to pull one out.
Yeah. Brewers, 81%. Cardinals, 36% chance to make the playoffs. Nobody else is in double digits. And then the Dodgers, 93%. Padres, 77%.
Man.
Giants, 47%. Diamondbacks and Rockies, below 1% chance to make the playoffs. Both.
Clearly a three-team race there.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting. So that's their 2022 projections, playoff odds.
I think baseball has been, following that trend of you can tell the teams who are in contention. You can tell there's not a lot of 50-50 there on those percentages you were reading, or anywhere near 50-50. You can tell who's there, who's trying to contend, who's actually got a good chance, who's got enough talent, and then there's the others, and the others are kind of obvious, right?
Yeah, it's not like
you.
Football where you can really get a sleeper or somebody gets hot.
Yeah, it's a lot more linear in baseball. We make fun of it, saying, well, by the time you get to the All-Star break, you don't know who's what and who's doing. But at the same, you can still tell who's trying. Like, you can tell the A's aren't trying. You can tell the Rockies aren't trying anymore. It's the teams that aren't even trying to compete. It's pretty obvious, so you can. At least you can tell that. So that's why when I look at those odds about to make the playoffs, the teams that you want to short, it's hard to find, like a real bargain. Like, because the teams that aren't going to make it, they're all really, you know, minus 1,000, minus 5,000. The football last year with those teams that were locks to not make it, such as the Jaguars, such as the Lions, such as the Jets, they weren't minus 5,000 or minus 10,000. They were like minus, you know, 1,200 or 900 or something like that. So it's a lot more difficult because in the NFL, some of those teams, like you said, can rise up and, oh, my God, that so-and-so went 9-7, 9-8, and stuck in a playoff spot.
Someone can just bum slay because they have, like, a ridiculously easy strength of schedule, you know.
And baseball is the same schedule every year. That's another good point.
Right.
That's our baseball preview. So you gave your full playoff and World Series predictions. You have Toronto over Milwaukee to win the championship.
That'll be a ratings darling.
Blue Jays, Brewers. And I have Dodgers over White Sox. Hey, go with the narrative.
You tried last year.
Had the White Sox win it all, and this year I'm going to have them to get back, but I'm going to have them lose to the Dodgers.
Okay. Hey, the White Sox are your new Big Ten for the NC2As.
One of these years, it's going to happen. I'm just having fun with it. I'm going with the storyline. Craig Kimbrell meets his old team and puts the flame out.
The team he was with for 60 days. He's going to get revenge.
That's right. Now, obviously, it's about, you know, the Dodgers reloading and Freddie Freeman and all that. And then I have the Dodgers over Atlanta to make it to the World Series because Freddie Freeman is going to come back and say, oh, 7 years as your franchise and you want to let me just walk to L.A.?
And he'll end them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like he ended the Brewers when he went Oppo off a Hader.
Oh, so... Dodgers over Atlanta for the NL for me and for the AL, White Sox over the Astros. 2005, baby. Let's run it back. White Sox kicked that ass in Houston. Let's just do it again. Had the Sox knock out the Astros to get to the World Series. One of these years, I'm going to get this right with the White Sox. They got so much talent, man. They're right there. They're so good. They're so loaded. They're almost like the Cubs a few years ago when just every position is like, damn, prospect, and they're all – coming on at the same time.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and they're all playing at a very high MVP level. Tim Anderson is the man. He's such a great leadoff hitter because he hits for contact. He gets on. He runs. He steals. He agitates. He gets the crowd going. He's like the perfect hype man. Gotta love the way he plays. Then Eloy comes up and bashes you. Louis Robert is a fucking monster, man. He's so big to be a second baseman. You see him in the box, and it's like, holy crap. So he's ready. Jose Abreu is the veteran. He's not stopping anytime soon. They're just loaded. They're just ready to kill you every game. They add A.J. Pollock to that down at the bottom of the order. Just turn it over, got some speed, and turn it over. Here's Anderson again. So, yeah, it's just a nightmare, just a rolling nightmare, that lineup. So I'm obviously all in for the White Sox.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting to see on Saturday how crazy the bidding gets for all of these new guys that you can bid on for the White Sox. That's always fun, isn't it?
Sure. You know they'll be bid up.
We got two teams that are just totally in the bag for the White Sox, and we'll just ridiculously bid them up. And it's so much fun.
Yep. Can't wait. Love it.
Can't wait.
Ready to get back to Chicago, ready to slam some pizza, ready to do this draft.
The greatest 7-hour draft that you can have. And it'd be nice to be doing it, you know, do it live. We're doing it live.
Yeah. Get to see the people again, absolutely.
Yeah, you haven't been up there in, it would be 4 years now.
That's right. Definitely ready to get back.
That's crazy when I think about that.
We'll do it live.
That's right.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
Well, the Zoom draft sucks. That definitely sucks. But
I didn't hate it. I hated the results.
No,
you didn't quite feel like you knew what you were doing through most of it. You know, it's like we got players. Everybody got players. I'm like, oh, did I get the guys I wanted? I did get some of the guys I wanted, but there were a few times I was like, ooh, we got that guy. I didn't want that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, what can you do? What can you do?
That happens in person. That might happen in person. You get stuck.
It does
happens
happen
all
in
the
person.
Time.
It does. But, you know, we have our strategies and, you know, we have our guys and there's just, yeah, there's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
I feel a bit underprepared, but like in a good way. You know, normally I'm like stressing it. And this year I'm just like, eh, you know, I'm just going to go in there and get a team, you know.
Well, that's kind of how you felt last year, right? Or the year before, rather, when I wasn't up there. And you're just kind of like, well, you know, you try not to overprepare. And that's definitely the way to go because you can paralysis by analysis, as they say. You can absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overdoing it. I mean, you know, we're going to have a decent amount of money, which is good. So I'm not too worried about that. We're going to have a good amount of money to spend. So from that standpoint, because there's a lot, I'm just, you know, I always kind of get the itchy, you know, like, oh, we're just going to start throwing guys back. It's funny because it was 2018, the last time you came up for the draft, and we won that year.
Yeah.
So, you know, but why not? Try it again.
And we can get the latest drop that I've found. We can have a celebratory jungle nonsense sound from our favorite Tom and Jerry cartoon because, you know, we love our random sounds from different cartoons. And if we win, we can get up on the table and do our jungle sounds, and it just makes no sense, but we can make the sound anyway.
Are we doing
the... makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't know if you heard me doing the...
yeah, I heard.
And the thing is, I could do the dance, too. It's almost like the Jingle Bell Rock. You just start doing the, you know, swinging the elbows out and pumping the fists up, you know?
Yep, you can see it. You can see it in the Hawaiian dresses or whatever, the
yeah.
Grass skirts. Oh, no better way to end, I think, than on that sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I got tomorrow's declaration day. I got a lot of work to do while I'm quote unquote working tomorrow.
It's your actual job.
Yeah. Opening day tomorrow? No.
Thursday.
That's Thursday. Cause tomorrow is declaration day and then Thursday's opening day. I work Wednesdays now. So,
yeah.
I didn't used to work Wednesdays, but now I'm off on Sundays, which is really nice.
I'm sure.
So I'm taking as much advantage of that as I can. But, yeah, I got to have the thing all sent in tomorrow by 6 p.m. And I'll probably have it in well before that. I'm pretty sure I've got the keeper list pretty well firmed up.
All right. We'll be ready to get it on and figure out the rest of our team by Saturday morning after we meet up and get our hotel rooms and have breakfast and get in
yeah.
there and get rock and roll.
It's going to be, it's always fun.
Always. I'm so looking forward to getting back up there. Just a guy weekend, you know, getting away and then hanging with the dudes. And get to
been
see
a while.
Again. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been crazy. You'll have to let me know when you fly in and where to meet you.
Yep. 7:05, I believe is when we're scheduled to land at Midway Airport. So.
Not too bad.
Everything stays on schedule.
Right. All right.
Yeah, fingers crossed there. All right, unless you got anything else, I think we're done.
No,
here.
I'm good.
Yep. Our baseball preview for 2022 is as fun as always and a lot of surprises. We definitely were not locked up with a lot of these picks. So
I appreciate that. That's probably the most different we've been ever. On a
yeah.
baseball preview show.
Yeah, we really mixed it up. A lot of out of the box picks, and so that was good to do. All right, I hope everyone had fun listening to that and getting ready for the start of baseball. We may come back with another show after we do the draft in Chicago. But if we don't, of course, we'll be back at the end of the month for the NFL draft. Yes, just around the corner, last week in April, the NFL draft. We have our draft aftermath show recapping all the craziness from the NFL draft and talking about some of the – there's been so many trades and free agent moves. More, this is the wildest offseason I think I've ever seen in the NFL. There's so many moves. We're probably not going to talk about some of them ever because we just forget. They just get lost. There's so many of them. But that's what our schedule looks like coming up later in the month. So we'll see how all that shakes out. But baseball is getting started on Thursday is the official opening day. And that was our big preview for 2022. So, again, hope everybody enjoyed that. We definitely enjoyed chopping it up for two and almost a half hours talking baseball. And that will do it for us. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, and our 2022 baseball preview. Everybody, enjoy your baseball starting on Thursday, and we'll talk to you when we come back from Chicago.